అష్టోత్తరశల శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిన ప్రభుపాదికి జయమును తెలియదా. ప్రవిష్ట పుష్పపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశల శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందమణి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సమూహ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయాపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓం ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహకహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం కేశవాం. మమే భక్తి సాభై జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయాం. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా దానాస్వేన సదా నిరస్తపుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర వరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యేత్ర శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం పాదమృద్రవ సంయుతం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికాభు విభావుగాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహ ఆదరమజ్జుహవా పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్రవోభినీదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అద్యాల్పదీపమదితిదీర్షతాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయకిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణూకొణితాదృదాననిందోః
वासु विजृंभदा मुरारे मधुरीं कनिकाभिकाभिगावि नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशां या संहरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं शाणोऽयं कुमारका वीरवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द श्रीद्विज उवाच नायं जनो मे सुखदुःखहेतु न देवदात्मा गृहकर्मकालाः मनःपरं कारणमामनन्दि संसारचक्रं परिवर्तये भून् मनोगुणान्वै सृजते बलीयं ततश्च कर्माणि विलक्षणानि शुक्लानि कृष्णान्यथ लोहितानि तेभ्यः सवर्णस्मृतयो भवन्ति अनीहमात्मा मनसा समीहता हिरण्मयो मत्सकमुद्विचष्टे मनस्वलिङ्गं परिगृह्य कामान् जुषण्निबद्धो गुणसङ्गतोऽसौ दानं स्वधर्मो नियमोऽयमश्च श्रुतं च कर्माणि च सल्व्रतानि सर्वे मनो निग्रहलक्षणान्दाः परो हि योगो मनसः समाधि
सो Yesterday, we were discussing that last words, Dhanam, Sodharmam, Niyamam, Yamam, Shrutam, Karmam, Pradam, Sarve Mano Nigraha Rakshananda. Krishna says, it's all for controlling the mind. Now, yesterday, we also saw some few different things. First of all, the important thing is that our experiences in this life, they decide the quality of our life here. Whatever experience you have in this world, accordingly you will judge your life in this world, is it not? Everybody does that. What experience I have, based on that I'll make a judgment about my life in this world. Similarly, everybody in the same way. So from this you can see that the experience of the world is possible only when the world enters the mind, is it not? World is there, we are separate from the world, but when the world enters into us through the mind, and once the world enters and give us the experience, first thing what happens is the mind interprets that world. Mind interprets the experience in a way that it can be a positive way or it can be a negative way, depending on the world, how the mind, according to its vasanas and the gunabhavam, it will interpret the whole thing to us in a particular way. And that is our so-called experience. That is why experience differs from one person to another, because of this reason. that one person accepts world in a positive way, another person accepts in a little negative way. It's all due to the, not the experience is the event is the same, people are the same, and the objects are the same, but when it comes to the individual, it gets interpreted by the mind according to the modes of Gunabhavam and as well as the Vasana, and that is what we call as our experience here in this world. That's understandable, isn't it? So that is why it's different for different people. Somebody says everything is good, someone says it's so bad, awkward. So this, why this difference? It's because of this. That Gunabhavam, that means the modes of nature present in the world, as well as the vasanas inside us, they interpret that particular experience in a way, and when we receive it, we feel either good or bad, whichever way it is. So that is important point. Because positively or negatively, it happens to us. And that is why we mentioned yesterday also that the that quality of the world, the quality of the world is going to depend on the label you put onto the world, how your experience is. It's based on that you are making that comment on the world, is it not? So it can vary from one person to another. And it is because of that the Avanti Brahmana is telling us that the less intelligent people, they concentrate on the world. Less intelligent people concentrate on the world. And the most intelligent people, they concentrate on the mind. This is the first Avanti Brahmana's judgment on that. Which is right, because Krishna is saying to us that, isn't it? He says, less intelligent people, they concentrate on the world. More intelligent people, they concentrate on the mind. This is the big difference. So, from there, it comes to this point that Krishna is also saying to us, that to confirm that, look back into the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we spoke about yesterday. Dukheshu, the sthita prajna state. Is it not? One who is of steady intelligence. We mentioned at that time, sthita prajna also is living in the same world what we are living. All the jnanis, realized souls, they are also living in the same world we are living. Isn't it? They also have the same impact what we have from the world. How the world impacts us, in the same way the world impacts them also. But then where is the difference? Difference is, the sthita prajna, or the person with steady intelligence, he has learned how to control the mind. Whereas we directly get affected by the events of the world. That is what Krishna is saying there in that verse. When Arjuna asked that question, Krishna says to him in the 256, Dukheshu anudvigna manaha, sukheshu vigadaspriha, vidam ragam bhayam krodham, sthidadhir munir uchyate. Krishna says, isn't it? About the sthidaprajna. Sthidaprajna means a man with steady intelligence. You must remember second chapter well, because it's so many things coming back. It's these Avanti Brahmana's experience is all an expansion of that. The principle Krishna has spoken in the second chapter. The principle. That's all what you find there. The principle of the way it works. Because Arjuna asked the question, how does a steady man with steady intelligence, fixed intelligence, how does he do things in this world? In answer to that, Krishna said that, Dukheshu anudvigna mana, sukheshu vigadaspraha, vidam ragam bhayam krodham, and sthidadhir muniruchyate. Krishna says that one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. It's called a sage of steady mind. And in the next verse, Krishna mentioned that the that yes, sarvatrana abhisnehas tatat prapya shubhashubham nabhinandadi na dveshti tasya prajna pratishtida. This is that words referring to the interpretation of the world. How we interpret the world, that's what Krishna is saying there. Nabhi nandadi na dveshti tasya prajna pratishtida. His prajna is pratishtida, is properly situated. How? Sarvatra nabhi snehas tattat prapi shubhashubham. In the material world, one who is affected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So these two verses, from there you can see that Krishna is pointing out to us the same what Bhikshu is saying to us. Bhikshu is saying to us, the less intelligent one, people concentrate on the world or the setup outside. The more intelligent people, they concentrate on the mind. And that is what the Sthitaprajna also does. See that? Sthitaprajna does the same thing. He concentrates on his mind, not on the world. So that is why Bhikshu says, Manojayam. Manojayam, control the mind and win over the mind. And we have also seen there something more important. He mentioned, we talked about that also, that in the last verse he said that Manaswalingam Parigrihya Kaman Jushan Nibhaddo Gunasanga Dosau. The verse 45, the last two lines. He says there that Manaswalingam Parigrihya Kaman Jushan Nibhaddo Gunasanga Dosau. The unintelligent person or the jiva who do not understand the role of the mind is trying to transform the world. He is trying to transform the world, to change the world. You can see this in real world also. You try to change the world, it will never change. First of all, it won't change. Secondly, even if you change, as soon as you come out of it, the whole thing goes back again into the thing. So world will never change to suit us. That's the point Krishna is making here. The Brahmana is also saying the same thing. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken more explicitly through those two verses. So, and the type of transformation he looks. Now, if a person wants to change the world and he wants to transform the world, the type of change, how he wants to change the world, that depends on his modes of nature. You see? You can see that by example. Say two people, one of them in Sattugunam, one of them in Rajogunam. The person who is in Sattugunam will say that everything should be very silent and quiet and peaceful. That's what Sattugunam demands. The Sattugunam in that person will like the world to be very quiet and peaceful and silent so that he can engage in spiritual life or meditation or any kind of peaceful activities. A person in Rajogunam, he wants everything very noisy, isn't it? Festivals, loud, big, blasting, kirtan. And this all comes the Rajogunam nature. So both Sattugunam, one in Sattugunam and in the Rajogunam, they expect the world to be two different ways. And the world person in Tamogunam, what will he expect? He will expect the whole world to be full of places for gambling and places for all his illicit activities and things like that. That's what he enjoys. So if man in Sattugunam tries to change the world will change in one way. If a man in Rajogunam changes the world, he'll change in another way. And the man in the Tamogunam, if he changes the world will be in a different way. So you can see the problem. Change in the world is not the answer to the problem. That is what Krishna is saying here. But Vedantam says to us, whether in Sattugunam or Rajogunam or Tamogunam, who is trying to change the world, if you change, control your mind, these three modes of nature won't affect you. This is the answer to the problem. Vedanta conclusion is that whoever wants to change the world, let them change the world. Somebody wants to change in Sattugunam, let him change in Sattugunam. Somebody wants to change in Rajogunam, let him change in Rajogunam. Somebody wants to change in Tamogunam, let them change in Tamogunam. And no matter who is changing the world, we as an individual, we have to know that controlling our own mind is more important. In other words, the way the world is changing, that should not have the impact in us in the same way. It should not have the impact in us. So that is the point Krishna has spoken in that. That is what that means. Manas swalingam parigrihya kaman. See that? And jushan nibhaddo gunasangadoso. The impact of the gunam, Krishna is saying there. How gunam changes every gunasangadoso. Gunasangam will, gunabhavam will change, and with the result of that, that is why even if you try to change the world, you are not solved the problem. Problem is inside here. And therefore, trying to change our manojim or control of the mind is more important. That's the one of the point we talked about yesterday. So, so he says here, because of its attachment to sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, Krishna says kaman jushan. Kaman jushan means that that means kamyade ini kamaha, that all the time it is judging the world because of the gunam. Gunabhav. We are judging the world and then we have complained about the world, isn't it? So many things are not right in this world. So you can see this whether, so just like two things, two people. One person says, I want to live in a city. Another person says, I want to live in a village. Why? Why is the difference coming? Both has got its own problems. If it is in the city, it is overcrowded, pollution, noise, environmental problems, things like that. If you go to the village, there is no facilities. For shopping, you have to go far away. For treatment, health, for hospitals and other things, you have to go far away. And like that. So someone likes the village atmosphere, somebody likes the city atmosphere. This is also due to the gunabhava. Gunabhava means the person. So, Krishna is saying that the in that next verse we saw that both together generate the experience. That means our interaction in this world generate our experience. So, the world and the mind together, that's our experience, isn't it? The world and the mind together. Events in the world and the people in the world and the objects in the world, their modes of nature and vasanas in our mind. Vasanas in our mind. They combine together and they create an experience which we call as the experience of the world. Experience of the world. So, experience means, if you simply take this word experience, it is an interaction of the mind and the world. Interaction of the mind and the world, isn't it? So, both together is our experience. But intelligent person knows that the primary role in that is played by the mind. The secondary role is played by the world. The less intelligent one thinks, primary role is played by the world and the secondary role is by the mind. Majority of the people just take the world as everything, isn't it? They give very little attention to the mind, very little attention to the mind. So, the Shastram or Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana is telling us, Krishna is telling us, that the primary consideration is the mind, not the world, not the world. I know it's a big shift for everyone to shift from the world to the mind. It's a difficult one, isn't it? We are not used to that. Our normal nature, if anything happens, immediately react to that, isn't it? But Krishna is saying that if we practice this, that to how to control the mind, not allow it to react straight away when any event happened or any persons or any objects that comes against us in any way, at that time learn to react in such, not to react to it straight away, rather bring it through the mind and see how the mind is reacting to it and give attention to that. So therefore, how this problem develops is like this. He said that Worldly activities you can't stop, it will continue, you can't stop that. But this worldly activities, just like doing business, earning money and things like that, that will continue. But those activities which are going on in this world, and that is also is the activities in the world or in the setup, and that improvement you can do what you can with that, whatever way possible you can do that, whatever that can be done you should do that. But that is for, you have to know that it's only for the success in the world. That's only for the success in the world. You are not getting any success from that. That's only a success in the world. Success in yourself, your own success is Manojayam. That's what Avanti Brahmana is saying, Manojayam. So, for Manojayam, all the spiritual activities, for example, sadhana, what we perform, japam, dhyanam, bhagavatam, deity worship, all these things is for Manojayam, is for the Manojayam. Success, the laugiyam, laugiyam means material life, that success, for that whatever you have to do, do it, whichever way you feel, you may succeed or not, that's another thing. But that is no importance in spiritual life. In spiritual life, these are the things important. What we do in our sadhana, chanting or kirtanam or bhajanam or dhyanam or puja or bhagavatam, whatever that is going on separately. Now, where is the problem? Problem is, if what we do for Manojayam, instead of doing that for Manojayam, if that is also used for worldly success, then the whole thing is gone. You see? That's where everything fails. These two things are separate. Worldly success, for which whatever you have to do, you have to do. If you want to do that, do that. And if that's what is making us happy. But worldly success may or may not happen. That's a different thing altogether. That is related to so many other things. Your prarabdham and so many other things as a factor influence there. Brahmana's point is that in this next verse you can see dhanam swadharmam niyamam yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvradhani sarve mano nigraha lakshananta parohi yogo manasa samadhi. He is saying there that everything is for, all spiritual activities for Manojayam, winning the mind. All spiritual activities for winning over the mind. So normally what happens is that we are not happy, something goes wrong in our material life, and then our spiritual life also is utilized to correct, improve the material life. Isn't it? Sometimes you say that the various problems in the householder life, what we experience, so many things happens there. So we say that Bhikshu is saying here that never use Krishna for worldly purposes. For worldly purposes. Use Krishna for Manojayam. Use Krishna for, Krishna means spiritual life, in other words. Everything related to Krishna only for controlling the mind, never for changing the world or for improving our worldly conditions. That is that verse is saying to us. Dhanam swadharmo niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvradhani sarve mano nigraha lakshanandaha parohi yogo manasas samadhi. Somehow or the other, bring the peace into inside. So he has mentioned a number of things there. For example, dhanam. Dhanam means charity. All religious activities must be used for mano nigraha rakshananta. That means ultimate goal of all those things is for mano nigraham, controlling the mind. So that way, to look at everything in a positive way, Krishna is saying that to entertain only positive thoughts under all conditions, under all conditions. That means not to allow negative thoughts to build up inside. So suppose you get a painful experience in this world, then take it as Arjuna's Vishada Yogam, like Arjuna had. When Arjuna Vishada Yogam happened, Krishna didn't talk about changing that world. Instead, he spoke to him about the knowledge of the self. Isn't it? That's the process. Arjuna also fell into distress, like we feel into distress every day in one thing or the other. So, when distress comes, we should treat that as Arjuna Vishada Yogam, like Arjuna felt. And the solution to that is what Krishna spoke, spiritual knowledge. That is the solution to that. So, from first chapter, you have to go into second chapter at that time, when that happens. So, that is why even that should be used, those experiences should be used. What the Upanishad says, Pariksha Logan Karmachitan, Nirveda Mayal Agrada Kridena, Tad Vijnanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigachet Shamitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. In other words, he says there, suppose the family members puts you into problems, or instead of complaining about that, to think that Krishna has given me this experience so that I can learn to depend more on Krishna rather than the other people in this world. So through various experiences in life, it will properly give us some opportunity to get closer to Krishna. That's what he is saying there. That when experiences in the world makes it very bitter or very disturbing, we should do what Krishna is saying, that just like in the Upanishad verse says, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan. After executing karma in this world and experimenting with it, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan, after karma you have passed through that, then Nirvedam will come. It will help you to create Vairagyam inside. Somehow or the other to move away from the world. It will help. Because one day we will be forced to leave this world and go from here. Before that happens, we should leave the world. That is the secret behind that. Before the world, we are forced to leave the world. It should not be a forced exit. Rather, it should be a voluntary exit. In such a way, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan Nirveda Mayal. Nirveda means Vairagyam, what we saw earlier, the word Nirvedam. Nirveda Mayal Agrada Kridena. That means that will take you out of two things. One, the attachment to the world, and secondly, from karma. Karma Vasana will go away when you get some experience like that. Bitter, bitter experiences in this world. Nirveda Mayal Agrada Kridena. Then, only in that state, when you are in that state, Tad Vijnanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigachet. That means when that Vairagyam is there, at that point, if you take to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, or to a spiritual master, it will have its effect. Otherwise, not. It's not something that you can just walk in, and it's not a walk in exercise. This has to be so many preparations prior to that, if it has to work. Nirveda Mayal Agrada Kridena. That Agrada Kridena means that karma vasana has gone away from inside. Then Tadvijnanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigachet. At that time, your inquiry from a spiritual master will be beneficial. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. It mentions that the nature of the spiritual master, he should be a realized soul. He should have studied the Shastram very well. And Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should be Brahmanishtam. And that means he should be situated in Brahma in such a way. So that is why he says here, any experience, that's what he says here, any experience can be positively interpreted or negatively interpreted, depending on that way. Because all sufferings are meant for Vairagyam at the end, to create Vairagyam inside. So he says here, many lessons, that is called Manonigraham. That means that experience will turn into Manonigraham. So here, that Krishna says, Dhanam, all the charities we do, let the Sangalpam will be that through the charity that I get Manonigraham. That is the purpose behind it. Through all the charity we perform, the result of that charity is that I get a control over my mind. I get a control over my mind. So, dhanam, then Krishna says here, dhanam swadharmam. Swadharma means all duties you perform for your family members, what we do for the family members. You don't know whether they will be grateful for that or not. They may or may not be. That's another thing, isn't it? For your contribution. Sometimes it happens that parents have done a lot for the children, but the children doesn't show any gratitude. In the sense that they complain about it, that you didn't do things properly. That's why it has gone wrong like that. So many parents say this, that you didn't do the right thing, that is why we have become like this. And after doing everything, you get all the complaints also about that. So, but Krishna is saying here that Swadharmam also should be used for Manojayam. These are all experiences in life. Dhanam, Swadharmam, he says here. And so, sometimes among the children also, this issue will come up. Who should look after the parents at the old age? And this kind of issues will develop. So, this is the discussion. Bhikshu says there, you see your service to the family, not expecting them any reciprocation, let it be used for Manonigraham. What is that Manonigraham? Manonigraham is this. Even in future, if the children don't support the parents should take that as an opportunity to depend on Krishna. Because otherwise we won't leave this. Support from the children, we will expect that. But only when they turn against, or whether they will be favorable or unfavorable, that depends on various other factors. If they don't become favorable at the old age, then you take it that is also Krishna's grace. Manonigraham. It will help the mind to understand the world better. Dhanam, Swadharmam, Swadharmam. So, Swadharmam, that you have done your Swadharmam, so-called duty for the family members. And that family members had no interest in you at the old age. When you wanted some help, or you thought that they may help. But if they didn't help, Bhikshu is telling us, because it is his own experience, isn't it? He is saying to us that if they don't turn up and give you any hand, or they can even turn against you. In that situation, saying that it has brought closer to Krishna. Closer to Krishna. Manonigraham. Manonigraham. And then, to depend on more and more on Krishna. To depend more and more on Krishna. Now, this understanding is in the state of Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. In that state. In the Vedadic point of view, this is a little difference here. That, you know, there are two states, isn't it? In the Dvaitam, there is Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, world. Almost all religious processes in the world is based on that setup. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. And in there, this works in that way. That means, Manonigraha means at the old age, if you have any difficulty with the family members or children or anything can happen at that stage, nobody can say how things will develop, is it not? So at that point, if it's not favorable, then you take it that it is Krishna's grace and move away from the world. That is in the Jiva Jagat Ishvara setup. In the Vedantam setup, you take it like this at that time, that Atma and Anatma, two things, isn't it? Except Atma, rest everything is Anatma. So Anatma, Krishna never encourages that. Association with Anatma. There you have to take those verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Like Nasado Vidyade Bhavo Nabhavo Vidyade Sada. Or Prakriti and Purusha. Or Kshara and Akshara. In that way you have to analyze it at that time. And move away from the Kshara Purusha. Move away from the Prakriti. Move away from the Anatma. From Anatma to Atma. From Kshara Purusha to Akshara Purusha. And similarly from Prakriti to Purusha. In that way you have to come out of it. So that is what Bhikshu's line is. Bhikshu is saying in that way. So the result is dependent on, not to depend on the Anatma. This is all Anatma. Family, friends, society, that's all called Anatma. So Krishna says there, that also has to be taken in that way, thought regulation. Then next one, Swadharmaha, that so even whatever duty that is being performed for family members, if it misfires at the end, Krishna says, Mano Nigraham. It's for Mano Jayam. Utilize that opportunity, because this is a possibility in many lives, particularly in the modern world, isn't it? This is a very strong possibility. It will happen. So Krishna is saying, if that happens, Sarve Mano Nigraha Lakshanandaha. It is also for your winning over the mind. It's an opportunity to win over the mind. Many things what we consider good in this world is not good for spiritual life. That also you can see. You can see what Krishna is saying. We think that, oh, if all the family members are together, having Christmas together and enjoying Christmas together, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Krishna is saying no. Krishna is saying, Sarve Mano Nigraha Lakshananda. On the other hand, if they say goodbye to you, and if they don't turn up for Christmas, thank you very much. That's the way you have to see things. That attitude is necessary in spiritual life, because they have helped you. Actually, you have to be thankful to them that they are not bothering you anymore. Sarve Mano Nigraha Lakshananda. They have given you permission to go. In other words, your account is more or less getting settled at that time with them. You have to think like that. Otherwise, if you keep thinking that all this family life and the happiness of this family life will go with me into the spiritual world, like people say that we got married here, we'll go to spiritual world, there also we'll get married. Continue in the same way. So all this is in the mind. The mind is creating all these problems to us. So, but it's better to come to terms with the reality. Reality is like this. Krishna is saying to us, as a jiva, you got into trouble now already with the mind and with the world. So you have to find the ways and means to come out of this entanglement here. And if you break away from this and succeed in doing that before death, then there is some hope after death of leaving this body. So then that's what Krishna is saying. Then you can see there, Niyamo Yamascha, he says. Niyamo Yamascha. What is Niyamo Yamascha means? Niyamo Yamascha means that there are so many rules, isn't it? You should do and what you should not do. Yamam and Niyamam in Krishna's language is different. If you look into the 19th chapter in that Bhagavadam, in Ekadasha Skandam, 19th chapter, verse 33 and 34. 11, 19, 33, 34. Krishna says, 12 Yamam and 12 Niyamam. You can see that. 12 Yamam and 12 Niyamam. Verse 33 is 12 Yamam. And verse 34 is 12 Niyamam. This is called, you can say they are called the religious disciplines. The disciplines in religious life. What one should follow. What one should follow. Uddhava asked that question, and that's when Krishna said, Uddhava asked, Yamaha, Kadivida, 28 verse, Yama Kadivida Prokto Nemo Varigarashana, Kashama, Kodama, Trishna, Katriticha, Dridi Prabho, Kimdanam, Kimtapashavidyam, Kim Satyam Rudamuchyade, Kastyaga, Kimdhanam Cheshtam, Koyajna, Kajadachina, Kumsa Kimsit Balam Shriman, Bhagolabhascha Keshava, Ka Vidya Hri Paraka Shri Kim Sukham Dukham Evacha Ka Pandida Kasya Murkha Ka Pandha Ulpadaschaka Ka Swargo Naraga Kasvil Ko Bandurida Kim Griham. After that, Ka Adiko Daridrova Kribanaka Ka Ishwara Edan Prasnan Mama Brohi Vibiridamscha Salpade. So the first verse, 28, was the question from Uddhava. Yama Kativida Prakto Nemo Vairi Karshana. What is Yamam? What is Niyamam? In answer to that, Krishna is saying, Shri Bhagavan Vacham, verse 33. Ahimsa satyamasteyam asango ohri asanjayaha astikyam brahma javiryanja maunam stairyam kshama abhayam shaujam javastavo homam shraddha adityam madarchanam tirthadanam parateho tushti ajarya sevanam ఏదేయమ సనియమ ఉభయోర్ద్వాదశస్పృదాః పుంసా ముభాసిదాస్తాద యథా కామం దుహందిః. దెన్ శమో మన్నిష్టనా బుద్ధి, దట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రమ్ శమం అండ్ అదర్ థింగ్స్. సో దోస్ త్రీ వర్సెస్ 33, 34, 35 ఈస్ ఆల్ ది యమం అండ్ 34 ఆల్ ది నియమం. అండ్ దెన్ ది కృష్ణ సేస్ ఏదే యమాహ స నియమాహ ఉభయోర్ ద్వాదశ స్పృద. సో 12 యమం అండ్ 12 నియమం కృష్ణ హెస్ స్పోకన్ దేర్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ హెస్ రిపీటింగ్ హి అగైన్ హియర్. కృష్ణ స్పో రిలీజియస్ డిసిప్లిన్స్ యూ కెన్ సే దట్ ఐ విల్ ఫాలో. సో టు ఫాలో దోస్ 12 థింగ్స్ అండ్ దెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ హియర్ శ్రుతం ఇస్ అండ్ ఇట్. సో శ్రుతం చ కర్మాణి చ సద్వ్రతాని, ఇఫ్ యూ గో బ్యాక్ టు దట్ వర్డ్స్ యూ విల్ సీ దే శ్రుతం. శ్రుతం మీన్స్ స్టడీయింగ్ శాస్త్రం. శ్రుతి, శ్రుతి ఇస్ వేదం ఈస్ అండ్ ఇట్. అండ్ కర్మాణి, కర్మాణి శ్రుతం చ కర్మాణి, కర్మాణి మీన్స్ యాక్టివిటీస్ రిలేటెడ్ టు వేదం, టు ద శాస్త్రం. దట్ మీన్స్ ది ఆల్ ద రిలీజియస్ యాక్టివిటీస్, స్పిరిచువల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్. దట్ ఇంక్లూడ్స్ కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ చ సద్వ్రతాని. వ్రతాని ఇంక్లూడ్స్ ఆల్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆల్ ది కర్మాణి ఇంక్లూడ్స్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ డైటీ వర్షిప్, దాట్స్ ఆల్ ది పూజ డైటీ వర్షిప్ అండ్ థింగ్స్ ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్. దెన్ వ్రతాని మీన్స్ యువర్ ఫాస్టింగ్ డేస్, ఏకాదశి, జన్మాష్టమి అండ్ మెనీ అదర్ ఫాస్టింగ్ వాట్ యూ పర్ఫార్మ్ ఆల్ దాట్. అండ్ అండ్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ ది in the process of deity worship, it is so many things one can do, isn't it? Making so many different offerings to Krishna or to the deity whom you worship. So Krishna is saying there, let that not be done for the benefit of your material life. It should all be done for the sake of manojayam. Manojayam, just like you go into the temple, the temples will list a lot of things what you can offer to the deity as a offering. You know, you pay a certain amount of money for various things. It depends on the temples. Every temple has its own list. But they should not be done for the sake of, when they make the offering, people think, oh, I have to pass my examination, therefore I'm making this offering to the deity. Or I want to get married and let the marriage be a happy marriage, therefore I'm making the offering to the deity. Sometimes you see pujari is taking the birthday marriage invitation and showing into Krishna's face like this. Have you seen that? This is what can you do? It has come to that now. Yeah. That is the bhakti today. Marriage invitation showing to Krishna, bless this marriage please. That is exactly what Krishna is saying not to do. Don't come to me with all that, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying to us, always you see this happening all the time, people doing everywhere, all over the world people do that. And then it turns into other things, new car blessing and all sorts of things, nonsense goes on. You say, actually we are cheapening Krishna. Krishna's position is, Krishna is telling us the very highest knowledge in this world, and in spite of hearing all that, we go and do such things to Krishna. And what, that's our understanding of Krishna then. What do we understand about Krishna then? That question comes naturally, isn't it? So that is the point here also, that's what he's saying here. Shrutam cha karmani cha sadvratani. All the karma covers all these things. That means religious activities, you are making it as material, materialistic. Material, which should never be done. Which should never be done. కర్మాణి చ సద్వ్రతాని, ఈవన్ ఫాస్టింగ్ అండ్ ఆల్ అదర్ స్పిరిచువల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ కంట్రోలింగ్ ద మైండ్. సర్వే మనో నిగ్రహ లక్షణాందాః అండ్ పరోహి యోగో మనస సమాధి. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డన్ లైక్ దాట్, దాట్ విల్ టేక్ ద మైండ్ టు ది సమాధి స్టేట్. పరోహి యోగో మనస సమాధి. సో మనో సర్వే మనో నిగ్రహ లక్షణాంధ, కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ హియర్ ఇస్ అండ్ ఇట్. సో హియర్ అభయం, ఇఫ్ ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు ఫియర్, ఈవన్ వెన్ ద సిట్యుయేషన్ ఈజ్ fantastic, the mind will, now he is young and healthy, but now he is happy because old age things can change, everything can change. So you can see how the mind operates. At this stage, mind can, when you are in the young age or in the youth, you think about the old age and get frightened. What will happen at the old age, isn't it? So, and it imagines many things and it creates fear inside. So in imaginary fears also, one has to be little bit conscious of these things, what the Brahmana is saying here. That if we strictly follow this instructions from Brahmana, then spiritual life will have some meaning. But the moment we start making our own version from that, then it's, the whole thing is gone. It's finished. So, dhanam swadharmam niyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmanija sad vradani. Brahmana is saying to us, Brahmana is saying, Krishna is saying to us, sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. It's only for that purpose. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. And parohi yoga manasa samadhi. The highest yoga is bringing the mind into a samadhi state. Mind into a samadhi state. So, parohi yoga manasa samadhi. What it means is that when fear comes in life about future, Krishna says that, isn't it, earlier, that jiva get frightened all the time because of the material body. Because of the material body. Body frightens us all the time. How does it frighten us? It frightens us when it gets sick, it frightens us. When it gets old age, it frightens us. Disease, everything, death, all of those things frightens us. When it frightens us, Krishna's point is, those fear will not be strong if you are capable to control your mind. Because mind will dictate you to the right thing, right understanding at that time, that mano nigraha lakshananda, Krishna is saying that, and the shandi, that fear will go away and shandi will be there in the mind if there is a control of the mind. Because fear is in the mind, not in the atma or the jiva. The fear is in the mind about the future. So Krishna is saying, sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yoga manasa samadhi. That if a person has learned to control his mind, basically, this whole Bhikshu Gita is centered around this one topic, Manojayam, controlling the mind. And Bhikshu is telling us that all things, dhanam, sudharmam, niyamam, yamam, shrutam, karmam, sadvradani, all vradam, fasting and all other spiritual activities, it is all for this purpose. Which one? Mano nigraha rakshananda, tavohi, parohi yoga manasa samadhi. Not for any other thing. Not for our material success, material life. It should never be performed for material happiness or material success. That's the main thing in that verse he is saying to us. He's saying to us. So, manasa samadhi. So, samadhi, from the Jnanamargam point of view, if you look at it, we have Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhana. Six things in the Jnanam process. Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhana. And Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhana. So, Samadhanam, Manasa Samadhi means Samadhanam. That Samadhanam, what called the Samadhanam, that is this Manasa Samadhi. Manasa Samadhi. Because if that samadhanam doesn't come, then even studying Vedantam is no good. It's not solving the problem. That aham brahmasmi, if we hear that, and it is there, but mano nigraham, if it is not there, Brahmana is saying that even if you say aham brahmasmi, it doesn't mean anything. It is only for that person who has mano nigraham. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. If the mano nigraham is there, then if he says that word aham brahmasmi, it will mean something. But if a person who doesn't have manonigraham, control of the mind, for him aham brahmasmi is simply a word from the lips. It doesn't mean, it's not coming from the right source, isn't it? So that is that point what Krishna is making in that verse. And we have also seen something else. Shastram has spoken various kinds of abhyasam. This is another interesting thing. Look at that verse, various things are spoken there, isn't it? Danam, Swadharmam, Yamam, Niyamam, Shrutam, Karmam, Vradam. This is what is discussed there. So you can see how many? Danam, Swadharmam, Niyamam, Yamam, Shrutam, Karmam, Vradam. Seven different things are spoken there. So, and all these things are spoken by, and Krishna is saying finally, they are all meant for only one purpose, to get the control of the mind. To get the control of the mind. Isn't it? That's what Krishna is saying there. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Why is it spoken like that? These seven things separately. Reason is this. For any one of us, every one of us in other words, we won't know which one of them will bring the mind under control. That we have to test ourselves. That's what it is. You may perform all the seven, or if you know which one is going to bring your mind under control, you should find that one and do that. So there's a choice there to give one. Sarve manonigrahana. The reason why they don't say one thing is because you don't know which one will do the job for you. That's the reason. Everyone is different. Someone will, dhanam will help somebody. For somebody else, yamanayam. You can see that in life also. Someone is very disciplined. Yamam neyamam he follows very rigorously. That will probably help him to get the mind under control. Ultimate goal is control of the mind. But which one will do that? That is your choice. That's the way it is. You see? Oh, that's how Avanti Brahmana is saying. They are all there. In spiritual life, so many different options are given. Like we have Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. That's also another choice given to us. But ultimately, we have to know what suits my temperament. Or temperament in the sense that my state of mind. What will benefit me? Which is giving me spiritual strength to move forward in spiritual life? That we have to find out. There is no one solution. Whereas in all other religions, have you noticed? There's only one solution to everybody. Only in the Vedic religion, they say, there is no one solution. It's a very wide range of things. That is why our scriptures also, if you look, it is not one person, one instruction. No. Bhagavatam you take, number of personalities there. Kunti Devi, Parikshit, Bhishma, and Dhruva, Prahlada, Akrura, Uddhava, Gopis, Ambarish, Vritrasura. Endless list of people. They are all different. Are they not? They are all different. So you will ask the question, whom should I follow? There is no answer to that question. There is no answer to that question. You study Srimad Bhagavatam. They all took to Krishna consciousness in their own way. They pursued that. Similarly, for us also, you can take any one of them, whomever is closer to your heart, take them and pursue them through that. You may find that is helping you in your spiritual life. This is how Vedic philosophy works. It's not that one book, and in that book everything has been told, everything what you have to do in life, and that it has to be spoken 100% clear. Everything. There should be no interpretation, nothing. It should be 100% straightforward answer. If it is like that, it would have been very simple life, isn't it? Unfortunately, it is not so. Our mind, because in Vedantam you can see, they are very open about it. That each person is different according to the vasana inside, according to the modes of nature inside. You can't put the same medicine for one who is in Sattvagunam, top Sattvagunam, and one who is the lower Tamogunam. Can you give him the same solution to the problem? How can you do that? That's not possible, isn't it? So one who has gone a little bit higher, he should be treated in that way. And one who is in the lower level, he should be brought up to the higher level. by some other process. That is why this variation is necessary. Similarly, you will see this in everything. Even here you can see. Dhanam, Swadharmam, Niyamam, Yamam, Shrudam, Karmam, Vradam. Seven options. Which one? That's up to you. What will help you to make that move forward? To move forward. But important thing is, ultimately, Manojayam. Get the control over the mind. So that is where our Vaidika system differs from the others. And you can see that also, that all these things have been spoken to control the mind. Because by doing what, your mind will come under control, you don't know. This is the problem. You see, I don't know what I have to do to control my own mind, to get the mind under control. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda, he says. So therefore, he says that anything that is keeping you in material existence, yeah, anything that is keeping you in material existence, and those things which are opposing the material existence, all those things is spoken. Because these things, dhanam, swadharmam, yamaniyamam, shrutam, karmam, vratam, they are all things which go against material existence, isn't it? To bring you that discipline inside. To bring that discipline inside. So anything that stops your material existence, all of them are acceptable. All of them are acceptable. And if you do that, and Brahmana is saying there forcefully that it should be done. All these things must be done. But finally you will know which one is helping you. Because everyone is different. This is the problem. Every one of us are different. And we ourselves have to look at it that way. And that's also part of the internalizing process. This is why internally you got to know yourself, where we are, each one of us. Whereas in other say, systems, religious systems, you will see, oh, you all come on a Sunday to the church and we'll all pray together and you all go home. And beyond than that, there is not a deeper level analysis. In Vedam, importance is given to the individual, not to the society. Whereas in other religious systems, they consider a group. Group solution it is. Whereas for us, it is individual solution. Individually, you have to solve your own problems. In the sense that my spiritual problems, I have to solve myself. I can take all the help I need from the Shastram and from these great personalities who have realized the truth. That's possible. But ultimately, it is me who have to make that move. Whichever way it is. That is why he is saying here, parama yogam, parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Samadhi means the mind that's wandering around in the whole world, that mind turn inwards and become very focused on the realization of the self and getting absorbed in the self. That is samadhi. So this is the Krishna is saying here, this is the greatest realization. And by doing what that will happen, you don't know. We don't know what will help to do that. So sometimes you can see many things you do among them and you couldn't have that. You couldn't get it done. It didn't happen. So sometimes you never know. When you are doing these things, somehow sometimes due to Krishna's grace and or due to some grace from a great soul, Mahatma, it comes to him. So therefore, nobody knows what will actually create that realization. So, but the goal is, every moment, how to get the mind under subjugation, to subdue the mind, subdue the mind, and to not forcefully doing that, but through knowledge, and through the processes, what is spoken there. So, and to bring the mind under control. So that is what he is saying here. That if you do like that, in due course of time, it will come under control. come under control. Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi, he says here. So, because it is like that, this dharmam adharmam, yeah, religious principles and irreligious world, things like that, up to what point one should do? Till you get the mind under control. After that, none of them applies. All these things, what's spoken there, you don't have to worry about them anymore. That is the way it is. Only till the mind is under, comes under control, this has to be done. This has to be done. So that is why we say a self-realized person doesn't have any rules and regulations. It is for this reason. Because his mind has already come under control. So no rules and regulations apply anymore to him. Because reason is, he has reached the goal. He has reached the goal. He has known what is to be known and he has got what is to be obtained. So now after that, whether you do charity or you don't do charity, you follow the religious principles or you don't follow the religious principles, it doesn't matter. After that, it doesn't matter. So that is the reason. And because he is not doing anything for himself anymore. That identity has gone, broken away. That mind, jiva, bhavam has gone. He's not jiva anymore, in other words. Isn't it? And what he does is not an issue anymore. Not only that, even if he has to do something, he's not doing it for himself. Even if he does something, it's not for himself. Therefore, vidhi and nishedham. You remember vidhi nishedham? Do's and don'ts doesn't exist for him anymore. Whereas in other religious processes, it's right up to the end, isn't it? That's how they are taking it. They don't say at any point you can give them up. Whereas we say that. We say that even your so-called religious activities, yamanayamam vidhinishedam. Krishna spoke about vidhinishedam, you remember? In the Bhagavadam, he said this to Uddhava. Uddhava, this vidhinishedam and all that, it's only up to a limit, he said. After that, I don't want to talk about it. He said, I'm wasting my time, he said. Krishna never had any much of a serious interest in talking about vidhinishedam. Although he will say these things, he said like that in the Ekadasham, you can see that. When he spoke about vidhinishedam, vidhinishedam means that the don'ts and the do's and don'ts, isn't it? So he says there that the different dharmam he has spoken, brahmachari dharmam, grihastha dharmam, vanaprastha dharmam, sannyasi dharmam. Then, when he comes to 20th chapter, he says, based on your qualifications, everything, he says, adhigari bhedam, that's what it's called. Adhigari bhedam. Where, what state we are, based on that, you are qualified to do some things, certain things. So, that is why he's saying there, that the, adhigari bhedam, and in the 21st chapter, what did he say? That I mentioned to you at that time also, that jnanam, karmam, bhakti, three yoga system Krishna has spoken, is it not? And he said, who will excel in a particular yoga system depending on his own detachment, renunciation? So, nyasinamiha karmasu, who is qualified for karma yogam, who is qualified for jnana yogam, who is qualified for bhakti yogam? Krishna has spoken that. And then Krishna says that those who are not following any of the yoga process, any of them, neither of these three, and who has no goal in the, who has no final goal of realizing the self, they, he says there, they have to follow all the rules and regulations. All rules and regulations applies to them. You see? So, once you have come to this, Krishna's position is like that. Krishna is saying to us that if you have made up your mind in spiritual life, and if you know what you are doing, that means you have decided the yoga process, what you are going to take seriously, and if you are completely committed to that, then even rules and regulations doesn't matter. But those who don't follow any rule, any yoga process, and who is very much living in this world to enjoy this world or to be satisfied with the world, for them gunam dosham vidhi nishedam applies. Vidhi nishedam applies to them. So that is the same thing Krishna mentions here also, that parohi yogo manasa samadhi. Till mind comes into the samadhi state, this can be followed. But samadhi, so samadhi means that concentration, the mind has become completely fixed on the Atma. So mind, without allowing the mind to go into the sense objects or to the world or to vyavaharam, but able to settle down in one place, that means fixed in the self-realization process and peaceful about that, and that means feeling without being one without the second. And in order to get this state only, Krishna is saying there, everything is done. All these things are done for that purpose. Now, after doing all these things, you are still not getting it. Then what should you do? That is the next verse. These seven things, what Krishna, dhanam, whatever we have spoken there, that
dhanam swadharmam niyamo yashas yamascham shrutam cha karmani cha sadvratani sarve mano nigraha lakshanandaha parohi yogo manasa samadhi.
So that is why Krishna is saying there, if you have done all these things, there is a possibility that it will come under control. Mind may come under control. It's not even guaranteed still, because there are many other factors. These are only general instructions to the society. That Krishna says, if you follow all this and pick what is suits your nature and pursue it through, but if it doesn't happen, then what will happen?
Samahidam yasya mana prashandam dhanadibi kim vadatasya krityam asamyadam yasya mano vinashya dhanadibischeda param kimebhi. Samahidam yasya mana prashandam yasya manaha samahidam prashandam cha bhavadi tasya dhanadibi kim krityam iti vada.
Krishna is saying, one whose mind is very focused, suppose it has come to that state, ekagrata, that means he has come inward looking, and because of that, because it is situated inwardly, and because of that, shanti has come to him. Shanti. For such a person, what is the need for charity then? That's what Krishna is asking. If it has happened, then there is no need for charity anymore. There is nothing to be done after that.
Samahidam yasya mana prashandam dhanadibi kim vadatasya krityam.
For him, what else has to be done in this world? That, because once you have got the result, then there is no need to continue with the sadhana anymore. Isn't it? So, yasya manaha asamyadam vinashyat cha bhavadi tasya ebi dhanadibi kima param bhalam bhavadi. But if your mind is still running after sense enjoyment, or sense objects, and or it is still falling back into the world, if the mind is still falling back into the world, and in that case, even if you perform charity, what is the use, he's saying. That's the way Krishna says that.
Asamyadam yasya mano vinashya dhanadivischeda varam kimehi.
He's saying that suppose after doing all these things, if your mind is still going back into the world and to enjoy the world and making plans in this world to get absorbed in the world, and that means the mind trying to enjoy everything. The nature of the mind is to find happiness in the world, to the modes of nature again. It's falling back into it, and for him there is no much point in giving charity, he says. There's no point much giving charity or anything. And that is why I said,
samahidam yasya mana prashandam dhanadibi kimvada tatsya krityam asamyado yasya mano vinashya dhanadibischedaparam kimebhi.
Dhanadibischedaparam kimebhi, says. So, here Krishna says, a person whose mind has become samahidam. Samahidam means that it has come to that state of samadhi, state of samadhi. For him, dhanam, dharmam, yogam, all anushtanam, what spoken before, ekadashi and all other fasting, all those things, is not necessary.
So,
in other words, all these things are done only for this one goal, to get this mind under control, to bring the mind under control. Andharmukham, the inward looking nature, samahidam, to make it samahidam. And because it's not started looking inwards, and because it's not going into the samadhi state, that is the cause of all our problems, isn't it? Because it didn't go inward looking and didn't want to realize the Atma inside, self-realization. Therefore, it is the cause of my material existence, which means that I have to change my body, accept another body, leave this body. All this is things because of that. So, in that mind, in order to make the mind andarmukham, inward looking, prashandam, in shanti, samahidam, completely settled there in the Atma, ekagrata, in fully concentration, and in order to reach that state, it is for that purpose only all these things were spoken in the last verse. Which one? Dana vrata tavo homam. All these things. See? Dhanam. Yeah. Dhanam swadharmam neyamo yamascha shrutanja karmanija sadvradhani sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. When Uddhava went to Vrindavanam and when he saw the gopis, what did Uddhava say about them? You see, there's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. Dhanam vrata tapo homai. Krishna says, Uddhava says there, japaswadhyaya samyamai shreyobhir vividai chanyai krishne bhaktirhi sadhyade. Uddhava's opinion about the gopis. Dhanam vrata tapo homai japaswadhyaya samyamai shreyobhir vividai chanyai krishne bhaktirhi sadhyade. Uddhava is saying, these gopis, they have reached that state. Their mind was so focused on Krishna, is it not? When he saw the gopis, seeing that gopis surrender to Krishna, and gopis inward-looking nature, no attraction to the world. Gopis had no attraction to the world, completely gone. And Uddhava seeing that, saying, what Brahmana is saying here. You see that? What Brahmana is saying here? Uddhava saw them in the gopis. Then Uddhava is saying, what does gopis need now? What charity do they need? What fasting they have to do? What austerity they have to perform? Dhanam vrata tapo homam. And sacrifices or austerities or penances, what do they have to do anymore? Japa swadhyaya samyamai. What do they have to chant now? Why japam? Why swadhyayam? What shastram do they have to study? What samyamam? What yamanayamam they have to follow? Why? Shreyobhir vividai shanyai. They have transcended all that. They have gone beyond all these things. Krishne bhaktirhi sadhyade. They are so much attached to Krishna now. To Atma, in other words, isn't it? So, you can see this practical example spoken in the Bhagavatam. Gopis themselves are the examples for this. And what Brahmana is saying this is the same thing. So, so one whose mind, one that what they say is that if you already reached the top, then you don't have to go into the ladder again, isn't it? You already got there. You don't have to climb onto the ladder again. It's not necessary. But one whose mind does not come under control after doing all these things, and still it is uncontrolled, it's still going into the world. It's still going into the world. In that case, and it's not allowing to go inward looking. Most of our problems is that. We think problem is that we have not done anything, that's why it hasn't happened. We have not done something, that's why it's not happened. No, that's not the problem. Problem is that the mind is going out. Because so many lifetimes, and even in this life, that's all what we have done, always busy with the world. So therefore, the mind to turn its attention from the world to inward looking is a big thing, it's a big shift for the mind. And that's not so easy, it won't happen overnight. Only by, through practice it has to happen. That inward looking nature has to happen. So Krishna's point is that if it is like that, again it's going back into the world, material existence, and gets busy in all kinds of vyavaharam, and it is again going back to the world and it is again getting involved in the vyavaharam. Such a person, Krishna is saying, such a person, even if he does charity, even if he does charity or any other kind of religious activity, or even if he does a fast Ekadashi, what good is it, he said. You see, the why Krishna saying like this, you will see Krishna's instructions are always very straightforward, isn't it? He told us in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayalmiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Then, Bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayina. It's the same thing. In a different way it's spoken here. That's all. So, if ultimately, ekehe kurunandana, that Vyavasayalmiya buddhi ekehe kurunandana, Krishna is saying that if that seriousness hasn't come in life, and the mind is still getting absorbed and pulled into the world, then even if you fasting on Ekadashi day, do chanting, japam or anything, it can go on as long as it has to take, it will take what it can be done. I can't give you a date for that, he says, when it will end. It will go forever, for a very, very long time to come. That's the point Krishna is making there. Again, the goal is more important than the anything else. So till we reach that goal, Krishna is saying here, that it has to be done, these things has to be done, but once you reach that stage, then nothing else is to be done afterwards. That's all what Krishna has spoken. And now we will look at the 47th verse. He said that that the samahitam, that's what he's saying, samahitam yasya mana prashantam danadibi kimba tasya krityam asamyadam yasya mano vinashyam Dana Devis Chedaparam Kimebhi. So, Bhikshu is saying here that the primary benefit of all this is Manonigraham, controlling the mind. That a person require a spiritual life for himself. Thereafter, he can do other things. But you need the spiritual life for your own purpose, for your own benefit, isn't it? And after that he says that dana cheda pare dana divi cheda param kimebhi. After that, for the sake of family, you could live your spiritual life for others' benefit. Suppose you have reached that state, then after that what you do is, it's only for the benefit of others, because you've already reached the goal. And then, if he is a householder, he should still stay in that state in order as an example for others to look up to him and to follow him if necessary. and he says here, that person who has reached that state, that means this Brahmanishtha or Jnananishtha, who has reached that state, he can change his activities. He can change his activity. Up to that time, say for example, he had been doing various kinds of spiritual activities like chanting the holy name, deity worship, that can be even minimized. It does not matter because he has got that control of the mind. So he says here that that is the stage when his realizations takes him to a higher level. If Manonigraham has come, after that, the higher Vedantic teachings, like Upanishad statements, Adha Brahma Jnasa, Aham Brahmasmi, Tatvamasi, their analysis begins from that stage onwards. But prior to that, this mind control has to happen. First, the control of the mind has to happen. It's only after that you can go into the next level. To the next level. So, that is why in Vedantam also they'll say like this, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Three things. Yamam and Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sadhana Chatushtayam means Iha Amutra Bhala Bhogaviragam, Shamam Damam Tidiksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam, then Shamam Adi Shalsambati, then Mumukshatvam, that intense desire for liberation, plus Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam, that permanently able to. So you can see, if these four things, which one? The separation between the temporary and the permanent in this world, Nityam, Anitya, Vastu, Vivegam. Then Vairagyam from this world and in the heavenly planets. Vairagyam from both, from this world as well as in the heavenly planet. Iha Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Then these qualifications, what Krishna has spoken. Shamam, Damam, Ubaradi, Tidiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Shama, Damadi, Shal, Sambati. Six things. And finally, over above all these things, Mumukshatvam. That intense desire for liberation, which Krishna is talking about in the second chapter. Those ones. If all these things have happened properly, and if he has reached that state of the control of the mind, mind has come, mind has been subdued, and he has been subjugated, and he is completely under control. Mind will not go anymore into the world outside. If that stage has come, only after that we can discuss about Aham Brahmasmi, and Tattvamasi, Pratyanam Brahma, Ayam Atman Brahma. Upanishad statements, one can start analysis at that time. This is the way it goes. This is the way it goes. Not that day one, when the mind is in the world, we discuss about Aham Brahmasmi. It won't work. First thing prior to that, Sarve Mano Nigraha Rakshananda, Krishna is saying there, Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi. First of all, you have to get this mind under control. After the mind has come under control, because what happens is, when the mind is settled down, it's not bringing any more the external thoughts from the world, and the modes of nature is not influencing us anymore. In that state, if you discuss these topics, Vedantam, it will have its benefit. It will work. It will work. Self-realization will happen. So that is what he's saying here. That can that activity, otherwise it will be very much superficial. Very much superficial. So, just like if a person's mind is not anymore attracted to the world and not anymore obsessed with the what goes on in the world and or what's going on with the family members, and irrespective of whatever conditions things have happened in life which we are trying to solve every minute, isn't it? Trying to solve the situation in the family life. It never gets solved. We think, oh, it will all get solved one day. No. It will go to the last minute. Even while going to Golders Green, you will be thinking on the last journey also, oh, I have not paid this bill, I have not paid that bill. That will come through the mind, some or the other. But Krishna is saying to us, don't look for that. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's the very nature of that. So, and plus all the problems that family life has given to us. That indifference from the family members and things like that. So many. That's all due to prarabdham. It's not due to anybody's fault. It's not to blame anyone. As we grow old, you can also see that family expands in various ways, isn't it? Family, that means family, and then the extended family, and then the different places. So you are connected with so many different places due to the members of the family being present there. And so many ups and downs will be there in life. So if the mind is going to be obsessed with all this, it will be preoccupied with that all the time, isn't it? And such a mind cannot practice spiritual life. It's not possible. It's not possible, simply not possible. Some people think like that I'll keep both together going. As long as it goes, let it go. That's their thinking also. But it doesn't work like that. So an unoccupied, unoccupied, that means not preoccupied mind, is more favorable for, that is called the samahitam. See that word Krishna uses there? Samahidam yasya mana prashandam. Samahidam means that. That mind which is not preoccupied with millions of things, hundreds of things in this world. Samahidam means that. Samahidam means the mind that is not occupied with hundreds of things in this world. And samahidam, so because external world will send the signals, the thoughts towards us, and it abides the mind itself, in the mind itself. And suppose these thoughts are coming, but if the mind is samahidam, that means the mind is subdued or the mind is under control, that mind will be prashandam. Samahidam yasya mana prashandam. We can look at ourselves and see how it's happening in our own life, is it not? Each one of us, you will see how different things are pulling us all the time in different directions. Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I have to go here, I have to go there. If I don't do this, who will do? What will happen? This is enough for the rest of the week to run. After that, non-stop, going on then, day in and day out, isn't it? So that is not samahidam. Samahidam means this connection with the world is very minimum. That is samahidam. Samahidam. Samahidam yasya mana prashandam. And only in that mind, he says, prashandam means deeply calm. Deeply calm. And it's not a superficial mind anymore. In other words, that deeper thinking is possible with that mind. Why we are not able to go deeper in life, in mind, in our thinking? Because it's not samahidam. That is the reason. Because the mind is distributed all so many places with so many people, so many objects, so many events in this way. And vyavaharam has gone, taken into such height that it is not able to get fully focused on the Atma anymore. So, so the mind which is meant for this purpose, what we do, you can see how we react to that situation. We use the mind for, when we have a disturbance in the mind, we think that if we bring some entertainment into the mind, it will keep the mind satisfied. That's what we do, isn't it? That, so superficially we try to bring that shanti, but it doesn't work. What we are doing is, we are shifting the attention from the problems of the world to something else. Finding it, that is how this entertainment industry has grown so big. People find so much shelter in the entertainment, isn't it? It's a much fast-growing industry. Always there is a lot of opportunities there. So that depth of mind, what they say is the depth of mind. Depth, you know, to go in depth something is not happening. Because of this problem. Because mind is occupied with so many things and it has snatched our depth of the mind. So Vedantam says to us, it requires a very deep thinking. And if you start taking this, it requires to understand particularly various things what is spoken in the Upanishads, Brahma Sutram or Vedanta Sutram. In order to grasp all that, you require a very deeper mind. You require a very deeper mind. So, because Vedanta Vijaram, when they call it a Vijaram, Vijaram means to absorption in there, in thoughts, through the thought waves. Those thoughts require deeper level absorption. Deeper level absorption. So, suppose the mind has become very agreeable, abiding nature and deep, he says here that samahidam yasya mana prashandam. Such a mind does not require any of these religious rituals. This is important. You know, we are thinking that the last words what we spoke about, dhanam sodharmam neyamo yamascha shrutam cha karmani cha sadvratani. Shruti means Vedam, the Vedic injunctions, to perform various rituals, isn't it? Various rituals, Shrutam, Karmam, deity worship, all sorts of Karmam in our life, Karmam, Sadvradani, all these austerities like Ekadashi, Janmashtami, fasting and all other things. Krishna is saying here, a mind who has come to that depth and got that message properly, that it is able to go into deeper level and able to take this study of this Shruti, Upanishads, it doesn't require any of those things anymore. You don't need to continue with all your previous sadhana, because they have been done only to get to this control of the mind. After the mind has come under control, then you don't have to worry about all the other things, what you've been doing since then. Because you got the mind ready, the field is ready now to sow the seed. That's how it is. The field is ready to sow the seed. It is ploughing. They give the comparison like this, that all sadhana, anushtanam, everything is like the farmer ploughing the field and getting it ready. Once the field is ready and it is ready for throwing the seeds into it, then you can stop all the other things, what you are doing up to then. Isn't it? It's exactly the same way in spiritual life also. Krishna is saying to here, such a mind does not require any more that religious rituals, what we were doing. Suppose a person, he has been going to Mangalarati whole life. He has been doing all other sadhana along with that, whatever you have been told, deity worship, extended deity worship or all other services, what you have done. How long that question comes? How long one has to do this? Till the point this mano nigraha happens. Sarve mano nigraha, Krishna says, sarve mano nigraha lakshananda. If the mind has come under control, then there may be no need to do any of those things. Because you have gone a step further. And then it's not that the day I started the same thing for the rest of the life. That's not our Vedic system. Vedic system is not like that. You are moving. There's a lot of people like that who have gone very high and they do not follow all the rules and regulations like a newly recruited bhakta does. You shouldn't expect him to do that, would you? That's not fair also to him. So you tell him that, look, why haven't you got up at 3 o'clock? Pour the water on your head and wake him up. Drag him down to the temple room and for Mangalarati. Why you are not dancing? Can you tell a man who is 70, 80 year old to do all that? You can't do that, can you? So similarly, that's the same principle. That the purpose of doing all these things, chanting the holy name, dancing in front of the deity, all sorts of things what we do in spiritual life is to get the control of the mind. Once the mind has come under control and you have moved away from the world, somehow or the other to get the attention out of the world towards inwardly, towards the self. That otherwise, how you are going to convince yourself that you are spirit soul? Simply telling everybody, oh, Dehinosman Yada Dehe Prabhu Kaumaram Yavalan Jara, is not going to work. It won't come to your help when you need it. If it has to come to your own help, it has to be realized inside. Just because I studied that verse number, whatever that is, 16 or something, I think, 216. If I dealt, oh, no, I got it. I haven't got it. All I got it is that four lines verse, that's all. But in order to get that, Krishna is saying, first thing is the mind must come under control. After the mind has come under control, then we can start from then. That is where that first statement, you remember, in the Brahma Sutram says, Atha Atho Brahma Jitnyasa. That Atha. Now is the time for inquiring about the truth. Brahma. What is that now means? Now means this state. When you come to the control of the mind. Not that I got a human body, I can start the Brahma Jitnyasa. No, it won't work. Even in human body, after executing all the regulative principles, rules and regulations, and all the sadhana, what Krishna has spoken, after doing all that, when the mind has come under control, that is the time for Brahma Jitnyasa. Athado Brahma Jitnyasa. That's the time. Otherwise it won't make any sense. Otherwise Brahma Sutram will become like any other scripture. Is it not? Brahma Sutram is not like any other scripture. Why it says, that is why the first word itself, Vedavyas put there, Atha to Brahma Jijnyasa, Atha. Now you can inquire. When is that now? That's a question. That now is this, what Krishna is saying. Here. You see. So this, in the Vedic philosophy, it is a very gradual change. When the day one, what you have realized is not the one, you will reject all that later, what you have got in the beginning. As you go forward, you will throw away many things, what you have collected in the beginning. In the beginning, you will be very strict about it. That many, many things, what you have thought, that is the very important. Even about Ekadashi and all, when we have very strict rules in the beginning, isn't it? We feel very strictly about it. But at a later stage, when you have gone very far, they are not any more important, that important as the way they, when you started. When you started, you did need that. You need it at that time. Because otherwise, mind was not willing to surrender. Mind was not willing to surrender. But if a stage comes, when the mind has accepted all that, and it has gone far in spiritual life, then it is something that one slowly sheds off from there. So that is what Krishna says there. Dhanam swadharmam, dhanadibi. So how much collected deep mind, and here they can totally free from them, pour the mind many ways it is done, just like while chanting the japam, we're chanting the holy name. It brings the mind under control. It brings the mind under control. That because the mind is totally available. If these things are happened, that means this training, what Krishna is talking about, if it's all done, that mind is ready for Shastram. It's ready for Shastram. then they can, then it will work. So what's happening now is that we have no patience, isn't it? So what they have done is, they've started some crash program in spiritual life. Crash in Vedanta also they've done this. Some people they do that. Some crash course, because you don't have the time, you are busy. So you haven't got the time. So I got only 2 weeks holiday in a year. So the institutions also started that, okay, you got 2 weeks, haven't you? So we have got a tailor-made program for you to suit your special needs. So book that course for 2 weeks and come. So everybody is doing this. Everybody is doing this. Crash program in Vedantam, I believe. And it won't work. Why it won't work? Because all these things what has to happen hasn't happened before that. And some people they say, oh, we want to finish Bhagavad Gita in 2 days' time. 2 days they want to finish the Bhagavad Gita. And they say, studying for years Bhagavad Gita, oh, that's too much to expect. Because, why is the reason like that? Because mind is very, very shallow. It's not deep. And it is very preoccupied. That's the problem. It's very shallow and it is very preoccupied. That is the problem. That is the reason why it's happening. We want to make it. We think that by technique you can do things, isn't it? Techniques won't work in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not based on techniques. And this has become like an industry now, isn't it? You can see how different institutions, because our way of life is not very conducive for spiritual life. We live a life completely in a mechanical way, lifestyle, and we are not very people with a very deep mind. We are mostly very much on the surface, everything. And because it's like that, the spiritual organizations also, they have understood our situation. So they are saying that whatever little we can do, we'll do it this way. And in order to encourage people, still they do all sorts of adjustments like that. But those who have succeeded in spiritual life, they will never approve all these things, what goes on today. They will never approve that. So Avanti Brahmana is saying to us that the improvement of this mind is the primary factor, isn't it? Improvement of the mind is the primary factor in improving your quality of the life, quality of the life. So improvement of the world is only a secondary thing. Improvement of the mind is the primary thing. Improvement of the world is secondary thing. And we should pay more attention to the improvement of the mind, which is a primary factor. And we pay only little attention or lesser attention to the world, to the world. So Bhikshu is not saying that you should not pay any attention to the world. Avanti Brahmana is not saying that. He's saying you can certainly pay the attention to the world, but the attention paid into the world is only secondary. Only secondary. Primary attention should be on the mind, on the improving the mind. And this is the important lesson from this Bhikshu Gita. Important lesson from the Bhikshu Gita. The second lesson Krishna, Bhikshu says there, that mainly all experiences, all religious activities, when we say religious activities means the activities we do for spiritual advancement, that should be done exclusively for the control of the mind rather than for improving the world, our life in the world. That's the second important thing that we mentioned in the last verse, isn't it? Sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasa samadhi. In the verse before, 39, isn't it? 43, he said, dhanam. So that is another important thing. Never to link spiritual activities with material happiness. Never to link that, two things together. So that's another important instruction Bhikshu is saying to us. Don't link your, you may have any problems in this world with various ways, with the health, with your family, with relationships, so many problems will be there. But do not link all those things with your self-realization. If you link that, neither this will go well, that will go well. Neither of them will go well. It will all become completely messy. And that's a big mistake. All of us do that. When we head into difficulty, we think that, oh, if Krishna doesn't help, and then what happens? It all becomes a business with each other. So Bhikshu says that avoid using religious activities for improving or changing the world. And even though sometimes religious activities can be used for changing our family conditions, financial conditions, etc., avoid using religious activities because that's a material approach. That's not a spiritual approach. And japam, chanting, bhakti, dhyanam, puja, all for reminding the mind. This is, when Krishna says like that, what he's saying is, it is an indirect way of saying about karma yoga. You see? Indirect way of indicating to karma yoga. That means that if you have to do something in this world, do it, he says. But if it has to, at least religious active, don't call it religious then. Don't call it spiritual. We have that problem also, isn't it? We'll do so many things and we'll call it as spiritual. That's not spiritual. Only if it is directed for self-realization, it is spiritual. So he's saying here, karma yogam approach is like that. Karma yogam can be directed in that way. That means you are giving more and more attention to the mind improvement, to improving the mind. Because suppose in your worldly life, the worldly life, if it is turned into karma yogam, that will help the improve the mind. Why? Kartrutva boktratvam ragadvesham will go from inside. So that way it will help the mind. That way it will help the mind, to bring the mind under control. So, so what do we mean by improving the mind? Improving the mind means that there are three factors which affects the mind. We have seen that before. One is the world and the people and the things, what is goes on here. And secondly, we have got these things called vasana inside us. and thirdly, what is known as my own effort. All these three factors has a effect on the mind. Has an effect on the mind. Because the thoughts that comes through my mind, that means the general thought pattern throughout the day, what comes through it, is dependent on these three things. One, the world outside. The world means the world, the people, events and things like that. That will have a influence on my thoughts. Secondly, my own vasanas will have a strong influence on my own vasanas will have strong influence on my thoughts, which I have developed in so many lifetimes. And notably, the vasanas developed in this particular life, particularly, those developed in this particular life. Similarly, also from the previous lifetimes. So, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad will talk about this. Tam vidya karmani samanyavabhede purva prajnaha. It says that tam vidya karmani samanyavam bhede purva prajnaha. It means that purva prajna, that has come from the previous lifetime, it works in conjunction with the education what you got in this life. When Vedam says education means that whatever knowledge you have acquired, not the material knowledge, any knowledge that you have acquired in this world, if it is favorable for self-realization, it is called vidya. If it is not favorable for self-realization, it's called avidya. So if it is vidya or avidya, doesn't matter what you have acquired here, based on that. If you have acquired a lot of avidya, that means you've got a lot of PhDs and doctorates and everything, that means you have plenty of avidya inside. You have collected a lot of avidya inside. So tam vidya, that avidya, which is called vidya here, tam vidya and the karmani samanyava bhede purva prajnaja, along combined with your karmani, with your actions along associated with that, based on the vasanas inside, samanyava bhede purva prajnaja, which you have brought from the previous lifetime as well. See, an important statement, we carry the vasanas also because heavily influence our thoughts pattern. Our thoughts are very much influenced by our vasanas inside, whatever vasanas we have inside. And the third one is which is less effect, is my own will or the effort from my side. So for example, you can see the influence www. whatever the web's influence on us. And there they say, that's why this they call it www. You know how this www has come? One is called the world, 1W. The other one is the vasanas. The third one is the will. So, if you can remember that way. The world, the vasanas and the will. Vasanas and the will. So, suppose Krishna is saying that if you are influenced by the, out of these three, if you are influenced by the first two factors, that means by the world as well as by the vasanas, purely by those two. Suppose a person is influenced only by the first two, the world as well as the vasana, that person is considered to be what? Pragridam. Pragridam means very unrefined. Very unrefined. He requires a lot of refining required. Totally unrefined. Only two things he believes. Whatever he sees with his eyes is the truth. Whatever he hears with his ears is the truth. And whatever he reads in the web is the truth. That person. For such people, he says, the first two out of the three, that person who believes only in the first two and influences his life, he is considered to be Pragridam. Pragridam means very unrefined, isn't it? Pragridam, world. And Pragridam means that I am under the grip of the world and I am under the grip of vasanas, in other words. So, so suppose sometimes people say, I don't want to get worried. I'm always worrying unnecessarily. I don't want to get worried. But mind worries, why? Because of the vasana inside. Vasana is a big contributing factor to that, for that worrying. But the worry sometimes, you feel that the world is very fine. The greatest wonder is when everything is fine. Suppose you say sometimes, that is also vasana. Sometimes you feel that it's not too bad, everything is okay, things are a little bit peaceful. The moment you feel that, you can take it that something is wrong somewhere. That's also other side of it, that it is never the fine, because all the time that you have something or the other to worry in this material world. So the thought pattern, my thought pattern is heavily influenced by this world and the vasana. Thought pattern is very much influenced by the world and my vasanas inside. So when I am grooming my mind under the influence of these two factors, then the third factor comes in there. And when the third factor start taking charge of it, which one? Your own will. Your own willpower, more and more, the will or the effort, and the way I have control over my own thoughts and thought pattern, I'll have the capacity to regulate the thought and make sure that the disturbing thoughts will become lesser and lesser. So that's what happens. Out of these three things, when the world and the vasanas are controlling you, you are always under this ups and downs, all the time. But when your own individual effort or the willpower from your side, it starts involving in that. And this can happen in two different ways. In Bhakti Margam, it's by surrendering to Krishna. In Jnana Margam, through thought process. But it has to be done. There is no question. How you do it, that's up to the individual. But in Bhakti process, by surrendering to Krishna, it is possible. Surrendering to Krishna means what? Handing over everything to Krishna. That means you can't worry anymore about anything in this world. Then you will know the difficulty of the bhakti. So you will see how bhakti is also not easy, as we say. But bhakti process is like that. The process is, I can't handle it anymore. I have left it to Krishna. If you have really left it to Krishna, then you can't worry about it anymore. The fact that if you are still worrying after that, that means you haven't left anything for Krishna. You are still holding on to it. That's what it means. So this is the problem in bhakti. In bhakti, that has to be understood. And that is a very fundamental principle of bhakti, is sharanagati. Without sharanagati, whatever you may do in this world, that's all superficial. This sharanagati and bhakti means this surrender. So in bhakti, that is how you do that. That is your willpower, effort comes in. That is what it is. In bhakti process. In the jnana margam is the other way, shraddha. That means you have acquired a certain degree of purification inside and you have learned this process of self-inquiry. The attention to the world has gone away. World has gone away. You have become very inward looking and therefore it is possible to do inquire about the self. So these are the two options we are left with, jnanam or bhakti. There is no other third process. Karma margam, as we said, Krishna said before, is only to support us that to get rid of this karma vasana from inside and making it as a karma yogam, it will help us that paying more and more attention to the mind improvement. It will help to improve the mind in the form of taking away kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham from inside. So that is what Krishna is saying here. So Vedantam is saying to us that it will, the Shastram also, we are not talking about a thoughtless mind. We are not talking about a thoughtless mind. What we are talking about, there is a difference between yoga state and Yoga Shastram and Vedanta Shastram. There is a difference there. If you look into the sixth chapter, Krishna talks about the Yoga Shastram. And Vedanta Shastram and Yoga Shastram, there is a difference there. Yoga approaches is thoughtless mind, to arrest the thoughts coming in. Vedantam does not want a thoughtless mind. What Vedantam says is, we want the freedom from disturbing thoughts. Disturbing thoughts. We do not want freedom from all the thoughts. We want freedom from disturbing thoughts. Disturbing thoughts means what? Those thoughts that is creating pulsations in the mind. Creating pulsations in the mind, which disturbs the shanti state. That is the difference between the Ashtanga Yogam and Jnana Yogam. Ashtanga Yogam is saying that completely to stop all thoughts coming in, totally focused, that ekagrata, concentration inside. So that is where Patanjali's yoga system differ from Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam. Vedantam says not like that. Vedantam says, although many factors are common between Ashtanga Yogam and Jnana Yogam, in the process there is some differences. And here you can see that Patanjali's Yoga Sutram says we don't want any thoughts coming in, completely to stop the thoughts. But Vedantam says we allow the thoughts, but they should not disturb us. And that means we should not create any pulsations inside our mind. If by my will and effort, also through my spiritual activities, religious activities keep through, then will help through this process. So all these religious processes, for example, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and all other processes, they are not going to completely stop the thoughts coming in. What it does is, as we discussed this before, it takes the thoughts onto an object which is not under the modes of nature. See that? In the yoga process, what they do in the Patanjali's yoga system, they completely stop the thoughts coming in. In the Jnana Margam and in the Bhakti Margam also, whole attention of the mind, we don't say we don't think anymore, thoughts are allowed. But if provided, those thoughts are not mixed with the modes of nature. Such thoughts can come. So that is the difference. That all thoughts in the Jnana Margam are allowed, but those thoughts should not create any pulsations inside. And that is only possible if those thoughts are beyond the three modes of nature. Beyond the three modes of nature. So whether it is through the Patanjali's path or whether it is going through Vedavyasa Maharshi's path, both insist that you have to go inwards. Now, either of them, whether it is Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali's Ashtangam or Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, both insist that you have to go inwards. But after going in, what happens there? That is the issue. After going in, what happens there? Patanjali says that you cannot have any thoughts because that's their process. Which one? Ashtanga process. You know. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. That's the way they reach Samadhi state. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam is Jnana Margam, which is combined with the Sadhana Chatushtayam, which we spoke about before. That is, Nityanity Vastu Vivegam, Ihamutra Bhalavoga Viragam, Shamadamadi Shal Sambhati, Shamandamam Tidiksha Operati Shraddha Samadhanam, which is spoken here also, and then Mumukshatvam. Through the process of cultivation of the knowledge of the self. In that way, with Vairagyam, combined with Vairagyam, coming out of the world and going towards the mind. Going to the mind and getting the mind under control in that way. So, but their thoughts are allowed. The only difference here is, these thoughts, what happens in this process, is not influenced by the world outside. Nor it is influenced by the vasanas inside. They have gone beyond. That is why they say that you have come to the beyond the three modes of nature. Beyond the three modes of nature. Both processes are difficult. Neither of them are easy. That also we must say that, isn't it? If you think that Ashtanga Yogam is easy, then if you see the people who have gone through and the life they have gone through, it's not for everybody. It's not possible. Even this process also is not easy, to go beyond the three modes of nature and to create that thoughts inside. So, but we have to accept it as it is. That is the way it is. But to begin, we have to begin somewhere. That is the bhakti process. Bhakti process. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying here that when one has taken to, that means that religion, all my spiritual activities is helping me, will help me through my effort, through my deliberate effort. I've decided to put effort into it. Now, what will happen is, so, through my activities in religious life, that means these dhanam, sodharmam, yamam, niyamam, shudhi, shrutam, karmam, vratam, all these things, I learn to handle my mind And through my effort, this is all my effort, isn't it? Through my effort and through the, and the, which means the religious activities and my effort, suppose I've started learn myself how to handle my mind. Earlier, my mind was under the influence of those two. Which one? The world and the vasana. These were the two things which were driving my mind. Now I have brought this third thing into it, my effort. Effort or willpower or whichever way you call it. And this effort or willpower is what we call as jnanam or bhakti. Jnanam or bhakti. And there again, in two different ways it's done. One, by surrendering everything to Krishna and handing over all responsibility to Krishna and living in this world without complaining about anything. That is bhakti. On the other hand, if you, that does not suit you, then you have got the other alternative, which means that either you could engage in the process of inquiry about the self in your own way and cultivate the necessary vairagyam, what is necessary for that, and slowly by your effort you bring the attention away from the world and inward looking. So either through bhakti or through jnanam, inward looking, it became inward looking. So if you have done that, such a mind is called andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means the mind, it's purified. Samskrita andhakaranam. Samskrita means purified. Purified andhakaranam. Previously it was called prakritam. Now it is samskritam. Prakritam means very unrefined, crude, in that state. Crude one. Crude is the one when it is the world and the vasana. Nothing else. No willpower, no effort, nothing. Purely based on the world as well as based on your vasana, living in this world in that way. But that is called prakritam. And when you bring this will or effort into it in the form of bhakti or jnanam, and you start changing and that taking control of the mind instead of the vasanas and the world, then that is called samskritam. Samskrita andhakaranam it's called, instead of the prakritam andhakaranam. Prakritam is very crude. Samskrita means purified. Samskrita means purified. So what is this definition of this Samskrita Andhakaranam or purified one? So, in this, a mind, that mind, which is, whose thoughts are less influenced by the first two. Which one? World and the vasana. They don't influence the mind as much as your own will and effort. Your own will and effort. So, rather by the third factor. That is why, if you look into the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say this in the 11th verse. Have a look at that verse. What Krishna says about that? Yatando yoginas chainam pashyanti almani avastitam yatandopi agridatmano nainam pashyanti achetasa. That verse. Yatando yoginas chainam pashyandalmani avastitam yatandopi agridatmano nainam pashyanti achetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalist who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. Very nice, isn't it? Where Krishna says that. Krishna is saying to us that those minds who are not developed, that means who is very prakritam, very crude, who are not situated, they are not situated in self-realization, they cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. In the world, that is what the world is. See, big people, big scientists, big philosophers, big religious leaders, so many people and politicians, everyone, they are trying to analyze this world. They can't get head and tail of it. They are all confused actually. If you ask anyone, even the American presidents or the prime minister or someone, why have you come to this world? What answer has he got? He doesn't have an answer. Or even big businessmen, they are very wealthy and very big leaders in the society. Very wealthy plus or whatever position they may hold in this world. If you ask them, what do you understand about this life? What will they say? They understand nothing more than what anybody else understands in the street. What life? They don't have a clue. They haven't got anything to say. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then he's saying here, Yadandyopi agradatmano nainam pashyantya chetasa. He says, agradatmanam. Agradatmanam means, then he's saying here, those without self-realization. So they don't understand anything, Krishna is saying. They don't understand anything. Whereas, yadandi yoginas chainam pashyantya alpanyavastitam. On the other hand, the one who is coming into that path, who has come to that path, and who is situated in the realization of the self, he understands. That is that difference. Samskritam, Prakritam. Prakritam means this agradatmanam. That is Prakritam. Samskritam means what Krishna says in the first two lines. Yadando yoginas chainam. Pashyant almanyavastitam. Almanyavastitam is Samskritam and agradatmanam is Prakritam. That's the way it is. So you can see how what our Brahmana is saying. Brahmana got all these things in a very short period of time. He got it through, got through all those. And he is saying in a few words to us. But how much it reflects what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that. When we study Bhagavadam, we should keep Bhagavad Gita with us all the time. And you will enjoy studying Bhagavadam that way. When you see that the truth, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is very much the truth. Straightforward it is spoken, isn't it? But in Bhagavadam, through the story of Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana, and various rishis like Dattatreya and Jadabharata and others, you get a little bit more insight into it through their life, isn't it? Because they were put into situations where they had to speak. Like Jadabharata had to speak to Rahugana, certain things, isn't it? Like Avanti Brahmana is seeing like this, and Jadabharata also has to speak in the same way to Rahugana. So when you read that, and you look at Bhagavad Gita and see how close everything is, what Krishna has spoken, absolutely no difference. Absolutely no difference at all between the two. So if you want to know one's conscience, one's andhakaranam or subtle body, this is the third question. How do we know that? What is the first point? First point is that the quality of the improvement of this life is by paying more attention to the mind than the world. By giving more attention to the mind rather than to the world. Number one. Then the second one is mind is influenced by the three factors. Remember, the world, the vasana and the unyogil power or whatever that is called. So first two, world and the vasana, they create a prakritam, a crude mind in the God. And the third factor, which is the willpower or the your effort, that purifies it and makes it samskritam. Makes it samskritam. So and then he says here after this the question comes, what type of mind do I have? We all have to find out ourselves. Not look at others' mind, what others have got. That's what we do first thing. What type of mind do you have? What type of mind do you have? That's not expected at all. Krishna doesn't like it when we do that. Krishna said this, particularly in bhakti, he said this, isn't it? He said, never judge somebody else whether he is a devotee or not. This is Krishna's words. He says, Krishna says, it's a business between the devotee and me. I don't want anybody getting involved in that. Whereas what do we do? We judge everybody else. What kind of, is advanced devotee, is a junior devotee, is a senior devotee. All gradations, we put it on them. we are the one who are making the decision. And Krishna says, that's the only thing I don't like anybody doing it. Devotion, he asked Uddhava like this, Uddhava, what does devotion mean? He said, devotion means what? Devotion means your love for Krishna. And who should make that decision? Krishna has to decide. If Krishna tells you that you are my devotee, then you are my devotee. And if Krishna is not telling you that, so there are sometimes people, they do all sorts of things in this world, and they say they are claiming they are devotees also. And you start wondering, what kind of, this doesn't match all things together, everything. So that is where the problem comes. That's why Krishna says like this, that when you are analyzing your own mind, how do I know whether it is Prakritam or Samskritam? This question, isn't it, comes. So we look at it after the break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakkaidava chandrika vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamrita svadanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrarpidatme vidasmaranena kala edadrishindava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdaiva vidashamihajani anuragah trinarabishuni chena tarorabhi sahishuna mamanina manadena taniya salaharim nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidamva jagadishakamayim mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai ai nandanu jakinkaram padidamam shame bhavambudo subhaya tava padavanga jastida duli sadrisham vichindayam nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya giram pulagayarjinam kadavabhutamam nama grahane bhavishyati idam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda grahe name ashleshyava padaradam vinashtumam darshanam marmahadam karotuva yathatadava vidadadulambado matpranamagasuna evanaparaham samahitam yasya mana prashantam Dānādibhi kim vadatasya krityam asamyadam yasya mano vinashya dānādibhi chedaparam kidibhi samahidam yasya mana prashandam.
What we were discussing before, that the two kinds of mind, one is prakritam. Prakritam means impure, which is under the influence of the world and which is under the influence of vasana, isn't it? But vasana and the world, these two things, that is prakritam. Samskritam means where your input into it, jiva is making an input into it through in the form of its willpower or in the form of its effort. Whichever, we call it as bhakti jnanam, in other words, same thing. So when you have your input into it, Vedantam will make it like that, because Vedantam is for everybody, for for devotee or for a jnani, it applies, because it is knowledge. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam is based on Brahma Sutram and Upanishads. And what he is saying to us is that that the this Bhagavadam, for example, as we Mahaprabhu calls it as the commentary on Brahma Sutram, isn't it? So it is not unnatural that what is spoken in this Ekadasha Skandam is the same message as in the Brahma Sutram. So Brahma Sutram, on a very higher level, it is discussing the truth. But it has been made more accessible to us through Srimad Bhagavadam with Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Normally, if you open up Brahma Sutram and start reading it, it's quite difficult to get, understand many things in there. and requires a lot of study and a lot of help from others to understand Brahma Sutram. But because Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, the knowledge in this particular way, how it's been presented to Uddhava, made a lot easier for us. Just like Krishna did with Upanishads also. Upanishads knowledge, Krishna summarized into Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. So Upanishads knowledge, normally to study every Upanishad and to get a grip over it means it's a lifelong effort, and even then it's not so easy for ordinary people. But for us, people like us, for who doesn't have any inclination or doesn't have the capacity to do that, for our benefit, Krishna gave us these two. Bhagavad Gita in the Upanishad summary and Bhagavadam Brahma Sutram summary. That's what it is. Brahma Sutram, Vedanta Sutram otherwise, Krishna made it easier to understand what Brahma Sutram has to say through Bhagavadam. And finally, as a conclusion of everything, you can see after talking from Canto 1 to Canto 10, Krishna spoke about all things, but in the 11th canto, directly the message to Uddhava. And keeping Uddhava as the listener, Krishna spoke that, he says that the knowledge of the Bhagavadam, which is nothing but a representation of the Brahma Sutra, in that way. So, these two literature, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, is more than sufficient if it is properly gone in depth. That's most important thing, going in depth into that. Because the message is heavy behind that. What is in the Upanishads, what is in the Brahma Sutram is heavy. Heavy means that it was meant to addressing to certain people who had that caliber and who had that purity and who had that commitment and dedication in spiritual life. It was meant for them. But when it came in the form of Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, it has been simplified to for easier understanding, knowing our present situation in this age. But at the same time, depth is necessary. Deeper analysis is necessary. That is why when you analyze these verses, you can see that behind the verse, there is a lot of things which normally we don't touch. We read the verse and saying, oh, we take the direct meaning. Yes, you can take the direct meaning, but at the same time you have to also know that when you are extracting that direct meaning, behind that there is a lot of things which are not spoken there. They are hidden behind it. Only then, when you combine that with the verses, it will make a lot more sense to the thing. So here, coming back to this situation with the mind, Krishna says, the Brahmana is saying there, Samahidam and Prashandam, two words he has used there in that word. Samahidam yasya mana prashandam. So the first one is Samahidam. As we have seen that the quality of life is improved by paying more attention to the mind rather than the world, number one. Then mind is influenced by the three factors. We mentioned that also. That first one is the world, and then the vasana, and then your will. Three things are the that affects the mind. But when only the first two, the world and the vasanas, are controlling the mind, that mind is called pragritam. When the will also, or your effort also, gets into it, along with the world and the vasana, then it becomes samskritam. Basically what it is when the third form, which is this willpower, when that takes control, you can practically say that the mind is samskritam. Mind is samskritam. So, so when, what, whether we have a samskritam or prakritam mind, that was the question, isn't it? How do we find out that? That is the first thing to do. So there it is in order to help us. Bhikshu is saying that. He says that mind which is influenced by bhakti, jnanam or willpower or effort, that mind will always be samahitam, he says. See that word? Samahitam yasya mana prashandam. Two things he is saying. The symptoms of that mind. First symptom is samahitam. Second symptom is prashandam. Prashantam. Samahitam and Prashantam. So Samahitam means that almost all the thoughts that comes to this mind are under your control. That is Samahitam. All the thoughts that's coming to that mind is under your control. Because controlled thoughts are more and more than the uncontrolled thoughts. At the moment, if we look into our own mind, almost you can say 100% are uncontrolled thoughts, isn't it? If by chance controlled thoughts doesn't happen, because of our conditioning like that, due to our own situation, thoughts are coming, we are acting based on the thoughts. Whatever thoughts have come, based on that we act, is it not? So thoughts are, but that is not the case of a person who has got that samskrita andhakaranam, pure consciousness andhakaranam. In his case, thoughts are very controlled, and that is called samahidam. Samahidam means that, samahida andhakaranam. In other words, mind is enjoying that regulated thought, which are determined my thoughts are controlled by the first two factors, the world and my vasana. Instead of that, it just come under my control. Thoughts are under my control. If we say that, you may think that, oh, is that possible to do like that? Under your control that all the thoughts are coming? You may ask that question, isn't it? But that is what Krishna is saying there. You remember in the 6th chapter, Abhyasayanadu Kaunteya, Vairagyanaji Grihyade. Two things can help. One is Vairagyam and the second one is Abhyasam. These two are absolute necessary for that controlling the mind. Controlling the mind. How does Vairagyam help? Vairagyam help means unnecessarily this wandering nature of the mind will stop if Vairagyam builds up. Vairagyam is the key behind it. Then if you remember, if you read that Bhartrahari's Vairagya Shatakam, you will see this. He explains many things, 100 verses about Vairagyam, to write about Vairagyam, 100 verses. So that means our mind got used to wandering around in the world, isn't it? Every time mind is looking for what's a nice place to go on holidays, what is there to see? And you get all the brochures and all the advertisements associated with that. So this way you can see the tendency inside us, where it's going to. It wants to enjoy. Mind wants to enjoy. Enjoy through what? Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, hearing. That's only 5 ways you can enjoy. And so these 5 things it's looking for. And that is in the world outside. That's where it is. So you can see that samahitam means that mind has stopped that action. That's why it's called samahitam. It is not looking for anything like that anymore. It's not looking for that anymore. So, and therefore, the thoughts which is related to that has come down. Related to material happiness has come down. It's not agitating anymore in the mind. And that is called vairagyam. That's called vairagyam. So these two things, samahidam yasyam mana prashandam. So samahidam state is like that, and the second condition is, this is the first condition, it has become samahidam. That means the thoughts are not anymore coming from the world, it's coming from inside. That you have a certain control over what kind of thoughts are coming in. You have a certain control over it. Secondly, he says there that the thoughts that are coming into the mind are not anymore disturbing thoughts. Disturbing thoughts don't come anymore. That means those thoughts which will agitate the mind, which will create raga dvesham, which will create all other qualities like envy, pride, illusion and anger, such thoughts won't come anymore. That is called prashandam. That means it will help the mind to remain shanti. It helps the mind to remain in shanti. So if the thoughts that are coming in, if they are under our control, and if they are not creating any disturbances in the society, in the mind, it's always keeping that peace inside, maintains that steadiness, that peace inside. Krishna says, that verse. Samahitam yasya mana prashandam. Samahitam yasya mana prashandam. That means the mind is less and less, remember the word, preoccupied. It's not preoccupied anymore. At the moment it is preoccupied, isn't it? Only interesting thing is, if you look into your own mind and see what's happening there in that mind, then you can see all these things. What Krishna says is the truth, that we have absolutely no control over it. So many things are going on every day. We wake up in the morning and then it starts the whole drama. And it goes right up to the point we go to bed. And the mind has been continuously doing things, and you are just a victim of that game that the mind was playing. Never had any time to stand out and keep your identity separately from the mind. You couldn't do that. We couldn't do that, isn't it? So samahidam, but Bhikshu is telling us that if the mind is under, if the mind has come under control, then the nature of that mind, because only then you can say that the three things are balanced. In other words, the world, the vasanas, has more or less surrendered to the third one, the effort or the will. So most of us, I would say, our mind is prakritam. It is not to denigrate anybody to say this. You have to understand that subtlety, what they are presenting to us, what the Brahmana is saying to us. Brahmana is saying to us that to reach that state for him, it took a long time. You have to remember that also. When he is speaking this, samahidam yasya mana prashandam, to come to this point, it has taken his lifetime, isn't it? He was also like us. So many bad thoughts was in his head. And he was trying to earn money based on that. And he had to go through all that in his life. And now he reached a stage in life after Krishna has put him through all these difficulties. Vairagyam came for his help. With the strength of that Vairagyam, the mind has withdrawn from the world. So that is why he is saying now that he has realized it, the benefit of that Vairagyam, he is able to tell us that straight away. That's what he is saying to us. That because that Vairagyam helped him to make the mind Samahidam and Prashandam, he is telling us that the nature of a mind, his own mind was very Prakritam before. But although he had studied Shastram and all that, in experience, in realization level, it didn't exist. Why? Because his prarabdham was dragging through all the other unfortunate things. But after going through all that, he reached a state now, somehow by Krishna's grace, he is saying, this Vairagyam had come to me. And that Vairagyam has actually gave rise to this Samahidam and Prashandam mind, which is as a product of that, as a byproduct of Vairagyam. Vairagyam's power is glorifying there. So, with the result now, he says, the mind is not preoccupied. Previously it was preoccupied in making money. How to make money? That was his whole... He was so obsessed with that thought. In that process he forgot everything about the world, about the family, and he didn't know what's right, wrong. Everything he's lost it. Now he's saying that preoccupied mind doesn't exist anymore for me, he's saying. The preoccupied mind. My mind is very much under control, very much under control. In other words, mind has surrendered. It is subdued. Mind is subdued. That is what he is saying here. So, now because it is subdued, the world and the vasanas are not causing any problem for him. The world and the vasanas are not causing any problem. So, the result of this Vairagyam was that it has become a samskritam rather than a prakritam, prakritam stage. So, and he mentions there, a preoccupied mind cannot go deeper. Preoccupied mind, if you notice, you will see this. Preoccupied mind will always be on the surface. One thing to another. It will jump from one thing to another, another, another. Like that. It will keep jumping from one thing to another. Preoccupied mind. So he is saying like this, that preoccupied mind is not available for any deep study. If you want to go in deeper level, whether it is Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Sutra, whatever it is, if you want to go deeper, if your mind is preoccupied with other things, it cannot do it. That is the reason why they say not to teach these things in the university and all that. The mind is preoccupied with so many other... Everyone goes to university is thinking, what job will I get after finishing this? With this approach you go into Vedantam, it won't work. Because there, when you go to university, the first idea is that, what's the job I'm going to end up with? Vyavsaya Almiya Buddhi is for the job there. Vyavsaya Almiya Buddhi is not for self-realization, it's for the job. There your Vyavsaya Almiya Buddhi is there in the job. How much money I'm going to earn after this? What job am I going to get? And centered around is all your course, all your graduation and all your effort, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, whatever years you are spending there, finally you know that's a goal. That's a goal. So the wrong goal, also the whole process is based on the wrong goal. So naturally, in that situation, if you teach Vedantam there, it will not have any benefit to anybody. It won't help anybody. There's so many people who go to university to study Vedantam and they get degrees from there. And then they can teach somebody else, that's all it is. like some people, they say they are musicians, but they can't sing. They don't have either the voice or they don't have that talent for singing. So what do? They go and do some course and they get some degrees in music. And what do they do after that? They'll teach somebody else. They can't do any, sing any song or any, no music, they are not musical practically, but they are taken to music. So it ends up like that. Similarly, Vedantam also, if you study like that, it will end up like this. You can study and then you can go and teach somebody else what you have studied. That's all. Nothing more than that. No self, no, Vyavsaya Almiya Buddhi and all doesn't have anything to do with it. But none of these things what Krishna says here. So that is why in the, it will remain very shallow, not deep. That mind will remain very shallow. For deep study, the mind is not available for them. In the Brihadaranya Upanishad, it says this. Karya shastra vinodena kalo gacchati dhimatam vasanena cha murkhanam nidraya kalahedava. That is that verse. It's there. Kavya shastra vinodena kalo gacchati dhimatam. Some people who are very interested in the literature, or artwork, things like that. And it is an entertainment for them, studying different poetry, different literature, and they make reviews about that. And you can see like big poets and also big authors, they have written a lot of books, isn't it? And then others will come and they will write their review of that book, on that book. And then somebody else will come and he will write a review of this review, what this man has written. Like this, the world of literature has become very big. World of literature has become very big. This is in every language, in English, in Sanskrit, in all languages it exists. Every language it exists. That big people who are poets and who are big authors, they write big books, isn't it? And then, for example, Kalidas wrote Shakuntalam, Abhijnana Shakuntalam, Kumara Sambhavam, Megha Sandesham. These are all Kalidas's famous creation, all poems and poetry and all that. They're not completely spiritual text in that sense, but spiritual topics are discussed in the book. And he, due to his poetical ability, he compiled them, famous literature, Kalidas's famous literature. Kalidas lived so long ago. Since then, based on those books, in so many other regional languages, so much literature has come up. Shakuntalam has been translated into all other languages and there is reviews on Shakuntalam, on Megha Sandesham. Based on that, other poets have written other books, taking the guidance from Kalidas's creation. Same way in English also you can see Shakespeare's books are there and there are other people who have reviewed those books and they have written about that in many other ways, different conclusions. So all the great literary work is reviewed by those people who have the taste for that. So Kavya Shastra Vinodam, this is called Kavya Shastra Vinodam. Kavya Shastra Vinodam means this, taking the great literature and analyzing it and studying it and reviewing it and writing literature based on that. Vinodena kalo gachati dhimadam. For them time will go like this, their life will go like that. Then vasanena cha murkhanam nidraya kalahena va. Murkha means one who has no taste in all these things. All he is interested in is arguing and fighting and quarreling with each other. And for them, two things only they will do. Either they will sleep. If they are not sleeping, they will be fighting. Nidraya kalahenava, it says there. So, that is the entertainment for the mind. They need some entertainment, isn't it? So, such people, those who are one class of people, they are busy with that one. Another class is busy like this. You can see that, like these politicians, businessmen. Therefore, what do? Nidraya kalahenava. They are not interested in literature or anything. They can't read them, they don't understand anything. So what will they do? They'll make money, they'll try to control others in this world. They want to become some big leaders here. Politicians are like that, isn't it? And they will use that opportunity to argue and fight and quarrel each other among themselves. He said this and I don't agree with that, and he said this and he agrees with me. Like this, you can see their statements all the time. And say for example, there is a new project. 10 years the discussion will go on that project. High speed rail. It started a few years ago. It's still never come to an end. It'll go for a few years this way, that way, this way, that way. This discussion will go on and on and on. And the whole country is busy listening to this. And ultimately something will happen, whatever happens. And they put the people under the hope that once that's done, your life is perfect after that. Because now you are running at 100 miles an hour, you'll be running at much faster than 200 miles an hour. That's the perfection of your happiness. So, this way, the whole world is running on the same principle, isn't it? In the name of development, in the name of progress. So, that is what he's saying. But there are other people who have, that is this category, the Dreya Kalahenava. When they are sleeping, they won't cause any problem. Once they have woken up, they will create trouble everywhere. Vesanena cha murkhanam, that murkha nature. That. So, kari shastra vinogena kalo gachati dhimadam. Now, what is the entertainment for the mind? And this is the mind of those whose mind is driven by vasanas and the world. Vasanas and the world. For a person whose mind is under control, or whose mind is subdued, or in other words, bhakti or jnanam has penetrated into their life, willpower has developed in the mind, their mind also needs entertainment. Upanishad says, Brihadaranyam Upanishad is for their entertainment, for them. Brihadaranyam gives them happiness, reading Brihadaranyam. For you can see here, what a difference in the quality of their entertainment and a person who is in spiritual life, his entertainment. The mind has come under samahitam yasya mana prashandam. If the mind has become samahitam, if the mind has become prashandam, then it will be naturally looking for, it will find happiness in the Bhagavadam, in Upanishads or Brahma Sutram. That is where it will absorb. It won't find any taste in any of these things, what's happening in the world. So for a refined mind, who has, as Krishna says, this samahidam yasya mana prashandam, he will like to read Ekadasha Skandam. He will get a great pleasure while reading Ekadasham, isn't it? Because Ekadasha Skandam is, when you see that exchange between Krishna and Uddhava, that relationship, that itself is something very noble, isn't it? A devotee who served Krishna without any interruption for 115 years in life, without expecting a penny in return. You can see in Uddhava's life, the day Uddhava was appointed as Prime Minister, 12 years old, and this conversation is happening at the very end, when they were about 120 or 122 years old. Imagine that relationship between them, between Krishna and Uddhava. That Uddhava is asking such questions at the time of Krishna's departure. And Krishna is giving to Uddhava the topmost realization based on the Vedam, Vedic knowledge, isn't it? So they will find, even today, I'm not talking about in the past, there are people, even at that age in life, finding great pleasure in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Even today. But they don't go advertising that I'm reading Bhagavatam every day. No. They live their life like that. They are withdrawn from the world and completely absorbed in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, refined mind is available for Uddhava Gita study. Prabhupada mentioned that before, when he came to America, he said sometimes he did think, what do I have to do here? He said, I've come here because my Guru Maharaj just told me to come. I've come. And it all happened in this way, the way Hare Krishna movement started. But he said, often he felt that I would have been much more happy to sit in Vrindavanam, in Radha Damodar temple, and read Srimad Bhagavatam. That was my liking. If you ask me what I like to do, he said, this is what I would have liked to do. That is refined mind. Why? Because things have happened in life in such a way, Vairagyam had come, and as Krishna is saying here, Samahidam, mind has become Samahidam and Prashantam. Only in that state, Bhagavatam will be an attraction. Prabhupada said, all I wanted to do was just to sit and read Srimad Bhagavatam all the time, he said. And to enjoy that. So they find happiness in reading Bhagavatam. Isn't it? So this is what Krishna says about this. Prashantam Samahidam cha bhavati. When the mind is regulated and calm, and Bhikshu says, for such a mind, he is saying here, if you have reached that stage, then you don't need any religious activities. That means you don't need to do any more deity worship or even japam or dhyanam, any such thing, because you have come to that state, samahidam yasya mana prashandam. And for his own personal benefit, he won't do anything anymore. He may still chant the holy name, he may still engage in deity worship, but that's not for his own benefit. It's done for the rest of the world. For the rest of the world. So that others who see him, they won't give it up. Because what happens is, when people have reached that stage, if they give up all these things, others also will give it up, who are looking up to them for help. That is why you could see Prabhupada was still chanting, even at the last minute, while sick, he was still chanting. So, because if he had stopped chanting, all of us would have stopped long before than that. We are waiting for him to stop, in that sense. So that is the way it is. That therefore they wouldn't stop. He will still come to the temple. He will still pay his obeisances in front of the deity and act as a devotee, like an ordinary devotee. He still will do that. And he will still celebrate the festivals. He will still perform all the austerities, fasting on the Ekadashi day and things like that. But from these words you can understand that once you have reached a certain stage, absolutely it's not necessary for them to do it. But then why do they do it? For others who are getting instructed by him, to keep them in the proper place. They have to do it. They have to do it. They will do it for that purpose only. But if they didn't do it, you don't have to think anything wrong about them. Anything wrong about them. There's a story about that. Once, somewhere Prabhupada was traveling, I don't know which flight it was, with some devotees. So, I think it was an Ekadashi day. Prabhupada was feeling very weak and tired because of the traveling and all that. So, in the flight they were serving bread. So, Prabhupada took one or two toasts and started eating. So the devotees were, the Prabhupada has broken the principle. Told him. He said, Ekadashi Prabhupada, you have broken the principle. They got on to his case also. So why that is? Because some instances it can happen. It doesn't affect him anymore. For Ekadashi day, if he has taken something, it was not going to matter so much. But because those who were with him, they didn't know that. They thought these rules are forever. Eternal rules they are. Wherever we go from now on, every Ekadashi, can't break it. Once you break Ekadashi, you're going to hell, isn't it? So Prabhupada's going to hell then, after breaking so many Ekadashis, he says. So this is our difficulty. That is why we must study Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is teaching us all these things. Up to what level all this? When do we stop it? And if they still do it, there is a reason behind it. And that is what he's saying here, Loka Sangraha. Loka Sangraha means that only for the benefit of others in this world, they will still do it. They have to do it. So, and because mind is already under control, their mind is not going to fall again like our mind is. They already it has come under control. So, no more, that is the important point, that for them, they have come to this state that they are in a state of a higher level, higher inquiry stage they are. So Bhikshu is saying there, such a mind, religious activities are not any more necessary. These are all religious rules, isn't it? That you should follow these rules and you should get up at such and such an hour in the morning, you should bathe in the morning. But a stage comes in a person's life that it may not happen. It may not happen. So for them, religious activities have done their part. Their role, it's over. Their role is over. So for such a mind, what is the next activity? The next activity, it is not any more religious activity. It's not religious activity. More and more Vedantic activity. Vedantam begins at that time and should start. That is why at that time, your deity worship, puja, or your japam, all these things has to be replaced with what? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Up to that time, you are absorbed in the puja, in the deity worship, in the japam chanting, and in the other spiritual things, whatever you've done. You go into the temple, circumambulating the deity, paying obeisances to the deity, all these things, you've done that. But once you have reached this stage, the mind has come under subdued and come under control, then you can cut that down a lot. You can still do it to a capacity, what it allows you to do, but you have to bring it down. Instead, the other side start building up. Which one? Atado brahma jitnyasa, jivasya tattva jitnyasa. Tattvajnanam has to grow bigger at that time. That is the second half that Bhikshu is saying there. He's saying there, you see that verse, if you look carefully, you will see it has got two parts. The first part is samahitam yasya mana prashandam danadibikim vatadasya krityam. That is the first part. He's saying there, once the mind has come under samahitam state or prashandam, danadibikim vatadasya krityam, why does he have to do those things again? What is the need for that? He's asking. If it has come under control, samahidam and prashandam, samahidam yasya mana prashandam, danadibi kim vada tasya krityam, what krityam, what work has he got to do with the other things? Which one? Danam sudharmam neyamam yamascha shrutam cha karmani sadvradani. It's not necessary. That's what he's saying. That is what that first two lines is saying to us. Samahidam yasya mana prashandam, dana dibi kim vada tasya krityam. What does he have to do after that? He's saying, danam and all other things, what was spoken in the last verse. Then he's saying, asam yadam yasya mano vinashya, dana dibi cheda param kimedi. He's saying here, but if it has not happened, it is still going into the world. And if it is still going to the world and it is not listening, that means it is still that pragridam samskaram, still there, pragridam mind is still there, then even if you do all these things, that means you have to really think what has to be done about it at that time. Because this requirement is the first requirement. Which one? The control of the mind. It's only after that the other side of the knowledge side of Bhagavatam can be built up inside. So, Dhanadevi, he says there, So in these words, various religious activities were mentioned. So it doesn't require all of them. This is the second half, which we're saying here. All religious activities will be futile and waste if it's not helping this to happen. As I mentioned before, so many things are mentioned there, the seven different things, isn't it? It is up to us to get the result by doing all that. And to choose which one, that is up to us. Whichever that helps you to get to the mind under control, one should take it. Whatever way it helps you to get the mind under control. And it's an ongoing process. And in that, if it is not happening, then you have to look at it again. Why it's not happening? Which one of the process, am I following the wrong thing? Or am I not doing the wrong thing, what will necessary for me to do? This one has to look at. But ultimately, yasya manaha, he says here, Mitra says here, all it is religious activities will be futile and waste if they haven't contributed to the mano samskaram. That means manam samyamanam. Or Krishna says, asamyatam. Asamyatam means there is no samyamanam. Samyamanam means control. If it has not contributed to the control of the mind, it hasn't helped very much.
Control the mind.
So, for example, you can see some people, they become very weak, what they call it is very religious in their doing life, in their life. We say they do it religiously. They'll keep on doing it for the whole life, same thing. Nothing has happened in their life. You can observe this also in this world. Some people are like that. That they will keep on doing the same thing. When they started their religious life, what they were doing, they'll be doing at the very last minute also, when they leave the world. The day before that also, they'll be doing the same thing. That shouldn't happen. That's the point Krishna is making. Because you got to look at it yourself and see there are various things they do like that. That means they become very mechanical, in other words. Very mechanically in everything. If you ask them anything, look, they'll say, oh, my ancestors have done this, I'm doing the same thing, they'll say to you. My parents did the same thing, my grandparents did the same thing, I will also only do the same thing, I won't do anything different. I don't want to change the tradition, they'll say like that. We all have the same difficulty in our own life, this will happen. Bhikshu is saying like that, constantly ask yourself, am I utilizing this for the regulation of the mind, for the controlling of the mind? Is it coming helpful for me? If not, yasya manaha asamyadam. The one when the mind is not calm and controlled, tasya vedihi danadibihi asam prayojanam kim. What is the benefit from that? You have to ask. What other worthwhile benefit is there for such a person? Because no other worthwhile, meaningful or benefit that can be attained if you live like that. So that you can see this. In spiritual life, some devotees, I will say this, they feel that way. That my spiritual master has told me this. Just you chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day. Follow the four regulative principles. And then everything will be okay. And what happens? They will do that from day one to the... For a long period of time, they will do that. But then their spiritual life hasn't given any meaningful... spirituality has not come into life yet. They have followed the orders. That is good. That's right. That's necessary also. But if you don't have this understanding or background, like the way the Bhikshu has spoken, that somewhere during our life, we have to know where to move on to the next level. And am I ready for it? That question must come within us. If it's happening or not. Life is a very short affair. We have only got about 30, 40 years to do anything, even if you have a healthy mind and the body. After that, everything is finished. We don't have that. So he's saying here, if a mind, that is when you have to look into the mind. If the mind is still controlled by the world and the vasanas more and more, what happens in the mind becomes more and more preoccupied with the world. With the world and with the adverse thoughts, and thereafter the mind loses its capacity for any deeper pursuit. That's what will happen. Suppose you have followed that system whereby you only will accept the instructions given by your leader or mentor or whatever, guru or whoever it is, and you will say, I will hold on to that, I won't listen to anybody else, I won't think anything about it. Then what will happen is, after a while, more and more, you will get preoccupied with the world inside, and finally, the mind will lose its capacity for deeper absorption. Deeper absorption. So that is why he says here that manaha vinashyachet. Vinashyat means that that you see that word what he has used? He says asamyadam yasya mano vinashya. What is mano vinashya means? Capacity of the mind has lost its capacity for deeper absorption. That is called mano vinashya. The mind losing its capacity for deep level absorption. Deep level absorption. That is what it is saying there. That asamyadam yasya mano vinashya. Mano vinashya. Dana dibi cheda param param kimebhi. Then these verses are taking a lot of things into it. That he is saying to us that the asamyadam, if the mind is not under control, what will happen by then is yasya mano vinashya. Mind has lost its capacity to become absorbed in a deeper level. To absorb in a deeper level. And then at that stage, even if you engage in dhanam, japam, vratam, it's not going to help. You understand what he's saying? That samahidam yasya mana prashandam. Dhanadibi kimva kimvada tasya kritiyam. So first two lines he's saying that if the mind has become samahitam and prashandam, then all the other things what's spoken in the last verse, dhyanam and yamam, niyamam, all those things, you can bring it down. There is no necessity to hold on to that anymore. Only to a limited extent you can do it to keep the world satisfied. You don't need that anymore. You have reached that stage. But if it has not happened, why? Because control of the mind has happened. But if the mind has not come under control, as he says, how it has happened, that he is not going to tell us. That is up to us. Individual has to make it happen. If the mind has come under control, then he is saying, you don't need to continue doing that, because if you keep doing that, you are wasting your time. That is the point he is saying. He is saying there that asamyadam yasya mano vinashya, which means, suppose the mind has not come under control, then you have to think yourself. Asoyadam, asamyadam yasya mano vinashya. Because mind has got only capacity up to a certain stage in life. After that, if you try to make the mind a deeper absorption, it won't work. Mind loses that strength after a while. At different stages in life it happens. There was one person who wrote a commentary on Brahma Sutra when he was 101 years old. So imagine how absorption he had. To write commentary on Brahma Sutra is not easy unless you are so focused on that, isn't it? And by the age of, if you observe people, you can see by the age of 40, 50 itself, it starts going away because of our worldly life. But you can imagine by 60, 70, it is disappearing, everything. The power of the mind. I'm saying that capacity to absorb in things. So he's saying that asamyadam yasya mano vinashya. If the mind has lost that capacity, then you still you are doing this dhanam, yamam, niyamam, shruti, karmam, vratam, everything. Is this what for? Mind has lost its capacity. Now you are still doing all these things. Where is it going to help? That's his question. You see that point, no? That only at the time it has to be done, it should be done. And once you have got the control of the mind, then it's not necessary anymore. And if you haven't got the control of the mind, and mind has lost its capacity to absorb in things, then even if you do all these things, it's not going to help. It's too late by then. That's what he's saying here. Dana asamyadam yasya mano vinashya. Dana adivish cheda param kimebhi. He's saying, asking that question in that verse. Isn't it? So that means, final meaning, the meaning of all this is, religious life is useless if the mind is not reformed. If the mind is not reformed, religious life is useless. That's what he's saying. That religious life is only to bring this mind under control. After the goal is reached, then you have to leave it behind. Leave it behind. So, it is after that, if you say like this, now, if this is what Bhikshu has to say to us, he's saying that you have spent your life in controlling the mind and controlling the senses, isn't it? So, now a point has come in life that control of the mind didn't happen. You tried, but somehow or the other, due to prarabdham and due to our own lack of effort, and which means that we didn't cultivate bhakti, jnanam, or vairagyam. Because of all this, the mind is still very external, outward looking. And mind is outward looking, and plus we didn't succeed in bringing down the vasanas inside either. That means our mind is very much pragridam still. So if that has all happened, would you say that the time you have invested in controlling the senses, was it a waste of time? This question will come, isn't it? Because we are thinking this control of the four regulatory principles is the highest achievement in spiritual life. That's the way we are. I'm following four regulatory principles, you know. It means I mean something, it's something important. Yes, in this modern world it is something laudable, that if you're following the four regulatory principles. And it is on the strength, our spiritual life is running on the strength of these four regulatory principles. So, so here the question is, is that all a waste of time? You didn't enjoy your senses also? You didn't enjoy your, you didn't have any success in spiritual life also. So has everything gone a waste? This question will come. So that's the answer next verse is about.
Manovashenye hyabhavam smadevaha manaschananyasya vasham sameti bhishmohi deva sahasas sahiyan injadvashetam sahideva deva. Manovashenyehya bhavam smadevaham manaschananyasya vasham samedhi bhishmohi deva sahasas sahiyan yunjyadvashetam sahi deva devaham. Anye devaha manovashe abhavam sma anascha anyasya vasham na samedhi. Remember this, he says, that anye deva manovashe abhavam sma manascha anyasya vasham na samedhi. All other senses are under the control of the mind. All senses are under the control of the mind. We know that, don't we? Because mind is the one who charges the senses to go and do things, isn't it? And mind is not surrendering to anything. It has kept all the senses are under its control. Whose control? Mind's control. But the mind won't agree to come under anybody's control. This is the situation. So, therefore he says here, Anye devaha manovashe abhavam sma. You know the senses what we have? They are called demigods. Because actually senses are only holes. What it is in each of the senses that particular demigod is present in our body. In our body. Karmendriyam, Yanindriyam. Who they are, that is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Eyes is the sun. Mind is the moon. Like that, Brahma is present in somewhere. Similarly, different devadas, different demigods are present in different senses. I think it is in the third canto it says, which demigod present where. They're all discussed in the Bhagavatam. So, demigods are present in the senses. That is why it's used the word devaha. You see there? Instead of saying senses, it uses the word deva. Deva means demigods, you can say. That's the English word. Demigod, isn't it? Manovashenyekya bhavam ki abhavam sma devaha
manascha nanyasya vasham sameti. That means he says there that all senses, all demigods in other words, but they are under the control of the mind. But mind won't agree to surrender to anyone. So he says here, Bhishma sa deva sahasa sahiyan. Bhishma sa deva sahasa sahiyan. He says, the yogis, they also, for them also, the mind is the most powerful thing to overcome. Mind is the most powerful thing. Tam vashe yunjyatsa eva deva deva bhavati. He says, who manages to get this mind under control, he is the one who is the demigod of all the demigods. He is higher than all the demigods because they will all worship him. This person who has got control over his own mind, first of all, senses are all the demigods. Those senses surrender to the mind because mind decides whether he should get any sense gratification or not, isn't it? From the mind it starts from there. So senses report to the mind, but mind won't report to anybody. He's like an independent man standing there. But if a jiva manages to get that mind under control, then all these demigods of the senses, they will all surrender to him, to this jiva. They will surrender to this jiva. That's what he says here. Bhishmohi deva sahasa sahiyan yunjyad dvashe tam sahi deva deva. He has become deva deva. That means deva of all the devas. Sahi deva deva. He will become the lord of all these demigods, he is saying. That is his position at that time. Because why? He has managed to get the mind under control. Because they are all reported. That means you become the big boss. Jiva becomes the big boss. And the mind is the middle level manager. And being others are reporting to him. So naturally you become the bigger boss, isn't it? Excellent. So, sarvam manaso vashe sarvam idam babhuva. Shruti Upanishad says, manaso vashe sarvam idam babhuva, says the Upanishads. That is what it is spoken there. So, Bhikshu is saying here that this bringing the mind under control is a very long project. And it's a very big austerity also. Very big austerity also. And don't postpone it for later life. The moment you understand this, you should start it. Not to delay it anymore. Because it requires the entire life. It requires the entire life. And to handle. And more it goes further, more difficult it's going to be for the older people. For the older people, it's going to be more difficult, this thing, because the mind is already been, already has lost its capacity to come to this stage, for the world. And you can see this sometimes older people say, they complain, all sorts of thoughts are coming to my mind, what can I do? They say like that. And the mind is running all over, they say. So much vasanas are gathered. So many vasanas we have collected in the 60, 70 years of our life in this world. And it has taken a total grip on our mind. Total grip on our mind. That's what has happened. Total grip on our mind. And it has become too late. So generally, when this situation happens, that doesn't mean old people are hopeless now. They have no hope. No, it's not like that. What it is saying to us is, this Brahmana also is saying to us, ideally the best thing is if it happens early in life. But if it hasn't happened, that means there is no hope. No, it's not like that. With this we have to understand that we have to surrender more to Krishna. That is the message coming from that. Because we didn't utilize the life properly for spiritual advancement. We didn't take Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam seriously. We, at this age in life, our surrender should be much more than anybody else. We have to surrender more than others. Because that's the only thing now what we can do, because we don't have any capacity for anything else. To get the mind absorbed in spiritual life and to get serious about spiritual life, that stage is practically going in life. That is why he's saying here that that when we chant that that when we say these things, we can see the problem that when quite often it happens, as soon as you cross over, say, 50, 55 years old, it becomes difficult to get back into sadhana and all very seriously, isn't it? Because the mind is not allowing that. Mind is so much in the world outside. Whereas if you bring something from the world, you will see that person will immediately become very enlivened. You'll get, there are some people like that, you observe them, that they will get very excited if you talk to them about something related to the world outside. They'll become very enlivened. And you will see, how come this person, when I was talking about Bhagavad Gita, he was sleeping. He had no interest. But as soon as you change the topic to something related to the world, politics or business or anything else, that man will become immediately, he jumps up and he has got a lot to say about that. You will see this in nature, in certain people. He knows everything about so many things. So that will all start coming out from him. That time. This is all our life in this world. It's not, not to make a joke of it, but just saying that how our mind is gone in that way. We got all the knowledge about everything else in the world outside, except what we are supposed to know. We haven't got a clue what goes on there. So that is what he's saying here. So if you, and if you talk to him, he will say, he will answer will be, I know that, he says. He knows the truth. For him, this is the only thing that is not the truth. Everything else is the truth. It has come to that stage. It's come to that stage. So when we say this, Bhikshu says here, when should we start this project then? When should we start? He says, next year or the year after. Some people make New Year resolution, now it's going to start now. Any day during the year, if you tell them about Bhagavad Gita, he says, no, we'll start 2014. I'm going to start with Bhagavad Gita, he says. 2014 year selected for starting studying. New Year resolution, that's what they call it, isn't it? New Year resolution. A lot of people, young people particularly, that they take these New Year resolutions like that. Bhikshu says, and because it's a long-term project, and it's also this vasanas and the world is too powerful, he says. That is, Arjuna also said this to Krishna. Arjuna didn't tell Krishna that I have decided to take a New Year resolution. When Krishna said to him, did Arjuna say like that? He said, Arjuna said only one thing. Arjuna was very straightforward. He told Krishna, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balaval dradam. Isn't it? Remember? Like, what did he say to Krishna? He said, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balaval dradam. Look at that verse, what he said. Sixth chapter. 34. Yeah. Chanjalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balaval dridam, tasyaham nigraham mani, vayuriva sudushkaram. Yeah. So, first Arjuna he also has the same difficulty. That was not easy for him. He also was like everybody else. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam, tasyaham nigraham mani, vayuriva sudushkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, Krishna. And to subdue it, I think it is more difficult than controlling the wind. So we must take this into our calculations. When Bhikshu is saying to us, control the mind, you must also know the mind, what it's like, that what Arjuna has spoken about that. And Krishna also says the same thing in the next verse. Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasenadu Kaunteya Vairagyanacha Krihyate. Krishna says, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb this restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Again, Abhyasam and Vairagyam, Krishna has spoken there. So, here you can see that Devaha, he says, in that verse, isn't it? He says, Mano Vashenye Abhavamsma Devaha. Devaha means the senses. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam. And they are under the control of the mind. It is under the influence of this mind, all the sense organs, where manaschaha anyasya vasham samedhi. He says, if the mind is not there, they are not a trouble. Who? The senses. Senses only follow the instruction of the mind. So you can't blame the senses really. It's been created like that. You see? It's been created like that. Remember in the Kathopanishad there is a famous verse that Paranjikani, it begins like that. That it says that Krishna has created everything in such a way that he created the mind, then the senses and the world. So the mind through the senses goes to the world. And then after doing all that, Krishna goes and sits inside. And then he says, now you look inward. Najiyadas mentions this. That Paranjikani, that verse, that's what it's talking about. It says, that why did you create us like this? First you created the mind, and then you created the senses, and then the world. And you have trained us in this way, that the mind, told the mind, look, you got the senses, through the senses you can go to the world. That's how we enter into the world, through the senses. So mind has been asked to go to the world, through the senses and enjoy the world. And then after doing all that, he goes and sits inside us, as Antaryami. And then he says, turn all your attention towards me. Turn all your attention towards me, he's saying to us. And made the life very difficult for us. So, so mind is not controlled by the sense organs. Mind is a matter, mind is the controller of these 10 sense organs. And sense organs are involved in all the vyavaharam, isn't it? In all vyavaharam, these senses are absorbed in. So all the transactions are done by the senses, or sense organs, and our whole life is controlled by the mind. This is to show that mind is powerful. That's what it's saying here. Mano vashenyehya bhavamsma devaha manascha nanyasya vasham samedhi. Then he says here, this powerful mind is called Bhishmohi Deva. You see that word? Bhishmohi Deva. Why was it called like that? Bhishma is known for this. Is it not? You know why Bhishma is called Bhishma? Why? Why was Bhishma called Bhishma? He took a vow. Such a powerful vow. That, what was that? I won't get married. He took that vow. Why did he take the vow? Because of his situation with Vijitravirya. And when he had brought this Amba, Ambi and Ambaliga, and when all his plan collapsed, and everything collapsed for him, isn't it? Whole life, Bhishma, even Krishna respects Bhishma so much. When you read Mahabharatam, that's the way Mahabharatam presents that Chitrangada and Vijitravirya, the two sons. And they were... Bhishma decided that through them I will rule this planet. I will rule this planet through them. Amba and Ambiga and Ambaliga were brought. They were the daughters of the king of Kashi from Benares. And unfortunately it so happened that the marriages didn't work. It didn't work. Amba took a vow and she went away that she wanted to marry somebody else. Salu or some... And then Ambiga and Ambaliga, they were married to Vijitravirya and Chitrangada. And from there children were born, but Chitrangada died in the battle very early. Vijitravirya got sick, I think, and then he also couldn't manage. Then Vedavyasa Maharshi was asked, he was brought in. And from him, children were born. That is what we call Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And there again problem with Dhritarashtra and Pandu. Pandava's children from Kunti Devi and Madri, Nakula and Sahadeva and Yudhishthira, Bhima and Arjuna. And Kauravas were born from Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, through Gandhari. And their problem again, they didn't get along very well. In the middle of all that, then Shantanu was there. So Bhishma had decided, took a vow that he will not get married. Because Shantanu, I think it was Shantanu's issue, isn't it? Yeah. Shantanu, in order that Shantanu could marry Satyavadi's father, Parashara Maharshi, told that if Satyavadi gets a child, he should get the throne. There was a disagreement on that time. Because Bhishma was already there as Shantanu's son, isn't it? So Bhishma says at that time that I will not come on the way. So they said, well, that's all right, you can say that now. But people change their mind later. They can change their mind later, isn't it? When you are 20, you say, I'm a strong brahmachari, they'll say. I won't get married. When you become 30, you say, no, I will not get married. So what you are saying at 20, you are not getting married. Now you are saying you are getting married. So that is not Bhishma. Bhishma is not that. Bhishma is one who, what he said in the first, he kept his word. Did he not? So that is why that strength in his words, that's what made him Bhishma. So that is why Brahmana uses that word Bhishma. Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan, he says. Why? That is Bhishma has from. It is from that name that Bhishma word has come. That taking such powerful vow, such a powerful vow, what he has taken. So terrible vows he has taken. So he got this title Bhishma. So actually his name is not Bhishma. His name is Devavrata. That was his name, original name. So here he says here that Bhavi Dasmid Idi Bhishmohi Deva Sahasa Sahiyan Injadvashetam Sahi Deva Deva. Some there's a Deva Deva. That mind is called Bhishma because that mind was terrible. But it is capable of hurting me, taking my sleep away by causing me worry, fear, anxiety, stress, strain, everything. And therefore he is called Bhishma. Who? This mind. Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. Mind is called as Bhishma here. Why? Because this mind is capable of doing everything. Everything to us. It takes a chinda chindadayor madhi chindayer shariyasi chinda dakashit najivam chinda pranayuta vabahu. It says chita chindadayor madhi chindayer shariyasi chita dakati nirjivam chinda pranayuta vabahu. It is a verse in the Mahabharata. What it says is that we feel all anxieties, depression, worry, tension, stress, strain, everything. Due to what? Due to thoughts, isn't it? When the thoughts come, they all happen. So the word chinta means thought. Chinta, chita chinta dvayor madhye. So when the body is dead, you take the body to the funeral pyre. The funeral pyre is called the chita. There the body gets burned. But this chinta, it burns you here itself. Right now. Right now it starts burning you in different ways because of the powerful thoughts that comes. Makes your night sleepless. Takes all your sleep away. It won't allow you to sleep. Once some powerful thought wave comes, then you can't sleep at night. You lose your sleep. Isn't it? Then people will ask you, oh, you haven't slept last night. You can't say anything. You will say, well, I didn't get a good sleep. Main reason for that is chinta. Chinta has caught. Chitadahadi Narjivam, Chinda Pranayita Vabahu. The difference is, because you didn't get sleep, because of the thought waves, it has already destroyed your body. It has got damaged. Chitta only burns the body after death. But Chinta burns the body before death. That's the difference. That's the Mahabharatam verse it is. It says, Chinta Dehadi Nirjivam, Nirjivam, Chitta Nihadi Nirjivam, Chinta Pranayita Vabhu. Chitta means, that means the funeral pyre burns the body only after the pranan has left the body. Is it not? Only after the pranan is gone, then it's okay, you can burn the body. But this chinta, it burns the body when the pranan is inside. And that is worse. That's worse, isn't it? Chita dahati nirjivam. When there is no life air in the body, you can burn it. Like in the funeral pyre. You can burn that. It's okay. But it says, chinta pranayita vabhu. This chinta, that is only a small difference, he says, between chitta and chinta. Chitta, if you write it also, na and ta together, you make it chinta. Whereas chitta is ta only, that's all. Otherwise, chi is the same, chitta or chinta. But that small difference is a big difference in life. That's the point. That after death, if the body gets burned, that is chitta. But chinta burns the body when the life air is inside. As a jiva, it gets burned. It burns both the body as well as our life. It burns inside. That's what he's saying here. Chitadahati narjivam chinta pranayita vabahu. So, that is the worry. I think we will stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.